A gift from Thinkertoys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinkertoys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinkertoys is open daily.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Things are getting more expensive. The consumer price index went up 0.6 of a point in the month of April, which is a sizable jump.
I think the good news about the current increase here is that because so much of it is related to energy, that doesn't mean that the core of inflation is increasing.
That's economist Peter Capelli at the University of Pennsylvania. Still, Wall Street did worry a bit. The Dow fell 214 points to close at more than 11,205. Yeshiva University economist Peter Capelli says no reason for panic.
200 points all by itself is not that overly huge. It really reflects just a negative surprise when it comes to the inflation data. I suspect the markets will settle down tomorrow.
Wall Street's worry is if inflation gathers steam, the Fed may raise interest rates again, at some point crimping the economy. The Nasdaq was off 33 points, and oil prices were down 84 cents, $68.69 a barrel. President Bush wore a look of satisfaction as he signed the extended tax cut bill into law. $70 billion, he says, will help keep the economic engine purring.
It's now my honor to sign the Tax Increase Prevention and Reconciliation Act of 2005.
People rally in Washington over immigration.
After weeks of rallies that had hundreds of thousands of immigration reformers pouring into America's streets, this small demonstration is quite a comedown, a sign that the debate over immigration is losing steam. A few hundred are here, waving American flags and signs, including one that says, "We are all immigrants." One man holds up a map of the U.S. On it, construction paper cutouts of people in many colors holding hands coast to coast. Barry Bagnato, CBS News on the Mall. In Washington.
Earlier in the day in the Senate, a vote put up nearly 400 miles of fencing along the Mexican border.
If border security means anything, it surely means this 370 miles of fence.
That's Louisiana Republican David Vitter. Another 500 miles would be guarded by border patrollers in vehicles. David Stoddard was a border patrol agent for 27 years. He lives in Arizona.
I have hordes of people running past my home. Some are carrying backpacks filled with cocaine, and then others are simply migrants, simply people trying to get further north to join relatives or find a job.
He says the fence is a good idea. The jury in the Enron fraud trial is only a few hours into its deliberations now, with the final words of prosecutors in their minds as they got the case. Defense lawyer Daniel Petrocelli talked to reporters about how long he thinks the jury may be at work.
Well, you never know. I've had trials where they've come back in an hour. I've had trials where it's taken weeks. So my sense is that they will take their time.
The world's fastest man ain't anymore. A recomputation makes Justin Gatlin tied for world's fastest in the 100 meters. The record still stands at 9.77 seconds. This is CBS News.
The following is an OnStar conversation.
How you doing today, ma'am?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. How about you?
I'm fine. It's a beautiful day.
I know the gentleman was just explaining to me that you'd like to add some minutes to your services. Is that correct?
Yes, because now in New Jersey, we have to be hands-free.
I'd be delighted to take care of that for you.
OnStar Hands-Free Calling is a voice-activated calling feature built into OnStar-equipped vehicles. It allows subscribers to make and receive calls while keeping their hands on the wheel and eyes on the road.
And, of course, I like my cell phone, but I'm not going to use it in the car, so it just works out much better.
It is, and plus it's more convenient for you.
Yeah, I think that's good.
There are no additional access fees, roaming, or long-distance charges.
Any other questions for you today?
No, that's great. And my minutes will be up, what, about 10 or 15 minutes?
That is correct. You know the system.
I sure do. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
You too, ma'am.
OnStar Hands-Free Calling is available on 16 Chevy cars and trucks. To purchase minutes or learn more about this service, push your blue button or visit OnStar.com. OnStar Hands-Free Calling is not available in certain markets.
Andre Agassi made a lot of money at Wimbledon, and he pockets plenty of loot from endorsements in the UK. Well, the tax man cometh.
It's Tax Man 1
Agassi, zero. The House of Lords has ruled that Andre Agassi has to pay British income tax on his Wimbledon earnings, even though he doesn't live here. Agassi was challenging a law other foreign stars have obeyed, so if he'd won, the UK would have had to refund close to $1 billion to the likes of Tiger Woods and Britney Spears. Instead, Agassi now owes Her Majesty's tax officials $52,000. Vicky Barker, CBS News, London.
Not all neighbors are friends. In Adelanto, California, that's out in the Mojave Desert, green lawns and shrubs are the product of hard work and lots of water. Police there say a homeowner called to tell them someone had stolen his lawn from his under-construction home. The sod, every square yard of it, the shrubs, even the irrigation system, turned out to be a neighbor who was seen installing it all in his own dry, brown yard. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Hello, would you like to be more successful with the opposite sex? I'm Ted Baker, and my program can teach you how to attract a mate. Listen to this.
Ted told me about logging on to freecreditreport.com. I learned that my good credit could help me buy a car and a boat, and now chicks dig me.
My patented system could work for you, too. Log on to freecreditreport.com to get your free credit score and report. A nice condo could make you irresistible.
Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at freecreditreport.com. Get the score.
The following is a message from Pfizer.
Dr. Drew Pinsky here on a subject most guys would rather ignore, erectile dysfunction. Believe it or not, nearly half of all guys over 40, and some even younger, have ED. If your sex life leaves something to be desired, even part of the time, do something about it. To learn more about ED and how to treat it, talk to your doctor or visit justasktoday.com. Do it for you and your partner.
Welcome to another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. We originate on the left coast, and I'm glad you're listening wherever you happen to be. This is a live, unscripted, unrehearsed radio talk show, and we're here for the next 3 hours with some powerful guests and interesting topics. I hope you can stay with us the entire time. This hour, we're going to take a look at the situation in Iran with expert David Courtwright. Coming up in about a half an hour, Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans affairs, will join us with another episode of Rumsfeld's Follies. Next hour, Professor David Ray Griffin talks about yesterday's release of photographs, which the corporate media says prove that an airliner crashed into the Pentagon. I don't buy it, and I don't think Professor Griffin does either, but we'll talk about it next hour. Also on the way, another update on Iran from our investigative reporter, Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com. And on today's program, in our third hour, we're going to talk about the president's speech on immigration policy the other night. David Bacon will join us. He's a writer and contributor at Pacific News Service and the author of The Children of NAFTA, Labor Wars on the U.S.-Mexico Border. And anytime along the way you want to join the conversation, you're invited to do so. All you got to do is pick up the phone and call me. The Central Coast number is 831-899-5792. Or call me toll-free from anywhere within the sound of my voice on 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. And if you want more information on your humble host, access to our live stream or our archived programs, just go to peterbcollins.com. That's where you can send me an email, too, peter@peterbcollins.com. David Courtwright is president of the Fourth Freedom Forum based in Indiana. He's a research fellow at the Joan Kroc Institute for International Peace Studies at the University of Notre Dame. He has served as consultant or advisor to various agencies at the UN, the Carnegie Commission on Preventing Deadly Conflict, the International Peace Academy, and the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation. And with those credentials, he could underwrite most of what's on PBS. But Joan Kroc did that for him. David Courtwright, welcome back to our program. I've enjoyed talking with you many times in the past.
Thank you very much, Peter.
I also want to mention at least your recent books, because you're the author or editor of a whole stack of them. You wrote A Peaceful Superpower, The Movement Against War in Iraq in 2004, and two books in 2002, Smart Sanctions, Targeting Economic Statecraft, and Sanctions and the Search for Security, Challenges to UN Action. And my topic today is about Iran. I know you have focused on that region of the world and that nation in particular for many years. And I present first a news item. We always look to the British press to tell us what's going on with American foreign policy. And today, actually, it was published May 16, so yesterday, the Herald in Britain said the U.S. is updating contingency plans for a non-nuclear strike to cripple Iran's atomic weapons program if international diplomacy fails, according to Pentagon sources. Strategists are understood to have presented two options for pinpoint strikes using B-2 bombers flying directly from bases in the U.S., Guam, and Diego Garcia in the Indian Ocean. And at least 75 targets in underground complexes would be attacked with waves of bunker buster bombs. Does this jive with your sources and research, David Courtwright?
Yes, Peter. We have been picking up information, clues from a number of different sources that contingency planning is underway by the United States for a military strike against Iran. It really looks from the whole flavor of the diplomatic effort that's underway that U.S. policy is pointing in this direction, that there would be some kind of a military strike to try to knock out Iran's nuclear capabilities. When it'll occur, we don't know, but the fact that there is contingency planning underway seems quite clear now. And I think it's a very dangerous situation. It's based on false premises. The assumption is widely held that you can just go in there and a few precision strikes and knock out their nuclear capability, and that way you can take care of the nuclear threat over there. It doesn't work that way. It's unlikely to work, and it could have many, many dangerous and very serious consequences for the U.S., for the whole region. You know, some people even say this could trigger even more of a terrorist threat. So it's a very dangerous situation, but unfortunately it looks like the administration is at least planning toward this kind of a policy.
I certainly share your concern, and in particular this sense that we can strike with impunity and that Iran would react the way Iraq did.
Yeah, well, we know already that that will not be the case. Iran is much bigger. It is a relatively strong nation compared to what Iraq was when we attacked it. They have a very large army. They have these Revolutionary Guards who are direct supporters of terrorism in some cases. They've trained up, apparently, a number of suicide cadre to go out and attack if we should bomb them. They've said directly that the first thing they would do is strike against Israel. There's also been claims that they might try to interfere with the oil shipments that go right past their coast. And, of course, we have 130,000, 140,000 American troops sitting right there next door. And if the Iranians wanted to cause trouble for our troops, they could really cause a great deal of hardship for us. So there's lots of ways they could strike back. And remember that they have been supporting terrorist groups that have been fighting against Israel. So they have a capability to strike against Israel. And all of this would be extremely dangerous. And so the notion is that if we strike them, we're going to stir up a very serious counter-reaction from Iran and perhaps from the broader world Islamic community. The hatred that exists against the United States in that part of the world would no doubt be multiplied greatly.
And David Courtwright, as you look at the picture, this article in the Herald said that we have contingency plans for a non-nuclear strike. The non-nuclear part is encouraging because until recently we were led to believe that a nuclear option was still on the table, and that just seems so bizarre that we would use a nuke to prevent Iran from developing a nuke. Somehow that's, you know, even on a metaphorical level, that just doesn't seem to be sensible. And then there's the if clause here, if international diplomacy fails. Now, this administration doesn't seem to have a keen interest in a diplomatic solution. The 18-page letter that was delivered last week from President Ahmadinejad struck me as an unusual way, but still an attempt to establish contact directly with the United States. And the Bush administration has just brushed it off like sweat on your forehead.
You're right, Peter, and there is no real interest, I would argue, in a diplomatic solution from this administration. They're making a lot of the right motions. They're working through the Security Council and with our European allies, but we are unwilling to make the fundamental commitment, which is to sit down and talk with the Iranians. If we can't talk with them, we will have no diplomacy. And you're right about this letter from the Iranian president. I've read it. A lot of it is fairly incoherent. It's a lot of ranting. But the very fact that the letter was sent was a significant departure from our relationship with Iran over the last few years. And it was a sign that there is at least some opening toward a communication, towards some sort of a dialogue with the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was very foolish and kind of productive for the administration to simply dismiss it out of hand.
Now,
a number of commentators have reflected, Peter, on the contrary example that developed during the Cuban Missile Crisis. You may recall that when we went toe-to-toe with the Russians and had a very serious nuclear confrontation underway, Kennedy and his advisors at the White House received a letter from Khrushchev. Actually, they received two letters. One was a hardline, bombastic, threatening letter. Another was more conciliatory. And what they did at the White House at that time was ignore the bombastic letter and to respond to the more conciliatory one. The point is that they recognized that this communication from the other side was a significant diplomatic signal and that it could be used to begin a process of dialogue and try to find a solution. That's what happened then, and we surely need something like that now. I'm quite convinced, Peter, that a diplomatic solution is possible, but the fundamental requirement is for the United States to engage in direct talks with the Iranian government. Why are we afraid to sit down and talk to the Iranians? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, and in this era of email, I think a lot of people have lost contact with the etiquette of correspondence, but I was always taught that if you received a personal letter, you must respond to it in some form or another. Has our government formally responded to this personal letter?
Not that I've heard, and from the tone of their public statement so far, you get the impression that they do not intend to respond. And I think you're exactly right. I mean, it's not only just a courtesy among correspondents, but, you know, we're talking about heads of state.
Yeah.
When a government sends a letter to another government, you really are required by protocol to respond in some fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say we have to respond. At a minimum, Bush could say, let's talk more. I don't agree with a lot of what you said. I completely object to your statements about Israel and the Holocaust. Those would be legitimate points that we could make in a letter to the Iranian leader. And then go from there into a broader discussion about how we can try to settle our differences.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Peter, people forget that we've had no diplomatic relations with Iran now for 27 years. And during most of that time, we've had draconian, comprehensive economic sanctions, no trade, no scientific exchanges, no opportunities for any kind of communication or interaction between our governments, no diplomatic ties at all. And no wonder we're in this problem that we are now. And we can't get out of this mess unless we begin to open up the channels of communication, begin a dialogue, sit down with the Iranians, and work out a solution to this problem. I'm convinced it can be done.
We're talking with Dr. David Courtwright. He's president of the Fourth Freedom Forum, Goshen, Indiana, a research fellow at the University of Notre Dame. And we'll continue in just a moment. If you have a question or comment about our policy toward Iran and the rattling of sabers, get on the line right now. We've got room for your call at 831-899-5792 or toll-free 888-579-2540. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
So tell me, Norma, just who is this Robert Owen who is running for sheriff of Monterey County?
Robert Owen lives in Soledad, and he has 30 years of experience in law enforcement. Robert Owen is a Monterey County jail sergeant who has dedicated his life to protect and serve every Monterey County resident. Robert Owen is a devoted and loving father of five children. I should know because Robert Owen is my husband, and he will be the finest sheriff Monterey County has ever had.
Paid for by Robert Owen, candidate for Monterey County Sheriff.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show as we continue our conversation with Dr. David Courtwright from the Fourth Freedom Forum. We're talking about the situation toward Iran.
Smiling faces sometimes pretend to be your friend. Smiling faces show no traces of the evil that lurks within.
Can you dance?
Smiling faces.
It's hard to know exactly who to believe or what to believe related to our struggles with Tehran. And David Courtwright, there's no question that Iran has been operating in a provocative manner and that their aims do trouble not only the United States, but in particular Israel. Is it your view that this situation is more Israel's problem than the United States?
Well, I think it's a problem of all of us and every state in the region and potentially even internationally. You're right, Iran has been threatening in its statements and in its policies toward Israel and toward the United States. It has a program of nuclear production and development that is really very much of a concern. There's no proof yet that they have nuclear weapons capability, but I think it's quite likely that they're moving in that direction, and they insist upon having a nuclear enrichment program, which would give them the full capability to have the bomb. So there's a real threat there, and it is a serious concern. It's actually more of a threat than Saddam Hussein was when we attacked him 3 years ago.
But it's not an immediate threat.
No, and the CIA and other agencies around the world have said that it would be several years before Iran would have the capability to actually build a bomb. Last year, the CIA said maybe 5 to 10 years. So we have plenty of time to negotiate. There's no need to panic, and certainly no need to be pushing this so aggressively as the administration seems to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And really, the solution, it seems to me, is rather simple. At least the strategy is simple. It's kind of a no-brainer. You sit down and talk with them, and you refrain in any way from even talking about military strikes. And military strikes would not work, A, and B, they would cause more problems than they would even begin to solve.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like shooting yourself in the foot. So take that option off the table, and the only other approach is to sit down and talk. And that means figuring out what are the carrots and sticks that you can bring to the table. What does Iran want? What do we want? And let's work out a bargain. It seems to me we've got lots of carrots, lots of incentives we could offer. The very fact that we've had sanctions in place for these 27 years means that Iran has not had the opportunity to have trade and technology transfers with the United States. There's tremendous economic opportunities available to Iran if we would open up trade to them. Another key incentive or carrot that we could put on the table, Peter, is the simple proposition of a security assurance, a pledge not to attack them militarily. In other words, let's do what we ought to do anyway, but then try to get something from it, from the negotiations, and say simply, we will not attack Iran so long as you don't attack us or threaten our allies, and we want to sit down and work out a bargain here and open up, as I say, trade relations, begin to lift the sanctions, and begin to open up diplomatic relations as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be a way to open the negotiations and put that in the context, then, of a bargain where we want to get something from them for making these gestures.
And it's a diplomatic, that's a diplomatic solution, not a military one.
Exactly.
David Courtwright, we're going to take a call here, and by way of background on this program, we have heard reports that the contingency planning, and I want to stress it's only contingency planning as far as we know, would permit an attack to take place as early as June of this year, June of 2006. And Eugenia wants to join us from Salinas, and she's raised a question before. And I'm glad you called, Eugenia, because I was going to ask it if you didn't. So go right ahead.
I think that we've got to worry about those carriers. Now, why would, if we're going to do an air attack like that, why would we have our carriers and all their contingent ships that go along with them sitting boxed in the Persian Gulf?
And, David, what the report also indicated was that the attacks would probably not be launched until three carrier groups had reached the Persian Gulf.
Right.
And this has raised the concern that Eugenia offers, which is that we could end up with three carrier groups trapped in the Persian Gulf.
Right. And I understand that one of the carrier groups, there is movement from Norfolk. So there may be the third group on its way over there.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding is from the military point of view, it's unlikely they would have all three carriers inside the Gulf. They could be out in the Indian Ocean. They have plenty of range, and they could have refueling craft if they need it. I just don't think it would be the military is that stupid. They would put all their carriers right there in the Gulf.
Well, that's what happened in Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, and I don't think we'd do that. And there's no need to. And Iran does not have much capacity to project force beyond the Gulf. You're right, in the Gulf they could. They've got missiles that could strike our aircraft carriers.
Mm-hmm.
But if
and
we
just
went out a couple hundred miles, we'd be fairly safe, I think.
And well, we know that they've purchased missiles from Russia and possibly China that are bigger and better and more powerful than what we've been using. That could blow those carriers right out of the water.
Well, they've got surface-to-surface missiles, and they could damage us, yes. But we've got defenses, so I mean, they are a military power. They have some capability, but I think I would assume that the military would plan to avoid that.
Eugenia, thanks for the call, and I appreciate you raising the question. Just about 30 seconds, David Courtwright. What would you like to add?
Well, I think the main point is that we, as citizens, need to begin to contact our legislators. Because a lot of people think, well, they're not really that stupid there in the White House. They're not going to start yet another war. But we've seen this happen before, and there's rumor that there may be a congressional vote this fall when the administration would ask for authorization. So we need to get on the phones to our members of Congress and say, no military strike against Iran. Let's sit down and have direct negotiations with Iran. Let's figure out a diplomatic solution. We've got plenty of time to bargain and to work out a settlement here.
Thank you very much. Always a pleasure to talk with you, David.
All right. Thank you, Peter.
David Courtwright from the Fourth Freedom Forum, Goshen, Indiana, and he also teaches at the University of Notre Dame. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Scott Dick joins us next.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a killer affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery.
MPG. For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school. When you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Join R.J. Moyer for his new weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay Area such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. The Tasty Planet radio show is sponsored by the Monterey Bay Aquarium's 5th annual Cooking for Solutions on May 19th and 20th. For ticket information, call 866-963-9644 or go to the web at montereybayaquarium.org.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Jeep Commander 4x4, a 7-passenger SUV that's roomier than the Cherokee. My demo has a 3.7-liter V6 and a 5-speed automatic with full-time all-wheel drive. The Commander is a solid SUV with a comfy suspension, holds the road well, and accelerates pretty well for an SUV. Well-priced compared to the competition, my demo has a good accessory package, but it's not all leathered up and there's no DVD player for the kids. It's a roomy, solid, practical 4x4, and you should test drive it before you buy a Range Rover or other luxury SUV. By the numbers, the 2006 Jeep Commander gets 16 miles in the city, 19 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $30,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. We emanate from the left coast. And we're on the air in Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz on KRXA 540. On KGOE 1480, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County. Also, we're on in South 40 Talk City, KSAC. And in Phoenix, Arizona, K
KPHX 1480. Wherever you're listening, I'm glad you found us. Now, it's your job to spread the word. And I went out today and plunked down $15 to add to the Peter B. Collins tax-deductible music archives this brand-new and powerful CD from Neil Young. It's called Living with War. And over the next few days, we'll bring you different tracks from the CD. There's some pretty powerful songs in there. Scott Dick joins us every week. He is our consultant on military and veterans affairs here on the Peter B. Collins Show, retired from the Army as a major. Scott, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Peter. How are you?
Not too bad. Thanks for joining us. And we got a couple of things to talk about, including Donald Rumsfeld, who is back at it. Is this time for another edition of Rumsfeld's Follies?
I believe it is.
Yeah?
And unfortunately, he's under the radar right now as we go through the NSA Hayden debacle that's going on in Washington, D.C. So his speech yesterday at VMI is being carried in a couple of places, but it really hasn't been highly publicized.
And that's the Virginia Military Academy.
Correct. That's just an abbreviation that's been stuck in my head for a long time.
Sure. And I missed the speech. What did he have to say?
Well, let's just take the first clip. I think I find this one very interesting. This is Rummy. We're at war, not at war.
But those freedoms are threatened as never before. We're a nation at war, but it's a war unlike any that our country's ever had to fight. For the first time in American history, the full view of war, its glories and its horrors, are on display to the world, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Today's war fighters are conducting battles in an era of digital cameras, satellite phones, the internet, 24-hour news, blogs. And because of these new technologies, the American people are seeing things they never saw before about the realities of conflict and of post-war violence.
That's really interesting. The way he said blogs sounded like he was just about to upchuck his lunch.
Yes, indeed. And I thought that piece right there says a lot about Rumsfeld. We're at war, it's post-war. And it's the kind of information or disinformation or whiplash that the American people get. He's talking about, first, the glories of war. And, Peter, I've never read, heard, or seen anybody who's been through war who's ever said there was anything glorious about war.
Yeah.
Not Grant, Eisenhower, MacArthur, none of them.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the guy who's talking about the glories of war and how the battle is different because Americans actually get to see it for themselves and not going through the filter of the Pentagon, but we know it's pretty heavily filtered.
Well, it's the 24-hour news cycle. It's digital cameras. I love that reference. Can we say Abu Ghraib?
Mm-hmm.
And Rummy kind of feels like those are intrusions, doesn't he, to the war process as he sees it?
Right. And he's talking about really incursions on his turf or the Department of Defense turf. They're not allowed to shape the civilian information battlefield, if you will, because there's all these uncontrolled assets on the battlefield that they don't directly control. And after the bloggers, you know, the Department of the Army cracked down on Army bloggers severely and gave them like a 2-page list of things they couldn't blog about, what they could say, what they couldn't say, all under the guise of operational security.
Amazing.
Yeah, so if you're blogging after the fact, it's an operational security issue, which to me, knowing some operational security that I had to live with my entire Army career, I found it kind of surprising.
Mm-hmm. All right. What else did Rummy have to say?
The ever-changing nature of warfare, and Peter, to set this up, this is typical of the Department of Defense talking about, you know, saying one thing and doing nothing on the other hand. And I just mixed the metaphor, but you'll see what I mean.
Okay.
Who've studied military strategy to better understand what it is they're seeing every day. And to become more aware that war requires continuous adjustments and calibrations, just as the enemy, an enemy with a brain, is constantly adjusting its tactics.
So he acknowledges that it requires constant change and update and manipulation, but the Department of Defense hasn't done that. We still have the same number of troops. We're still using the same guard mix. We still have stop loss. We are working hard to eliminate the IED with a lot of gee whiz technological wizards and gadgetry, but just didn't keep seven more, I think 10 in the last 2 days from being killed by IEDs.
Well, and there are a couple of things here. One is that Rumsfeld and Bush have, on occasion, acknowledged setbacks, a need to change tactics, need to make adjustments on the fly, but they never acknowledge really in any detail what the mistakes were and what actual changes have taken place. And one thing I wanted to bring into our discussion here, Scott, and I'll pass the book along to you. I finished Cobra 2 and interviewed its co-author, Michael Gordon, the New York Times military correspondent, on Monday. And I have to say the book was more satisfying than the interview. Gordon was not very forthcoming, really, in any kind of analysis or critique. He's pretty much here are the facts, and I have a lot of friends at the Pentagon, kind of guy who didn't really want to venture out too far into criticism. But the book lays bare the flaws in the planning process, the way Rumsfeld just kept like a pitcher waving off the catcher with the proposals for the number of troops until he got a number that he was satisfied with, and it was well below half of what the generals believed was necessary for a successful invasion and occupation.
Yeah, Peter, that's called big hand over little map tinkering.
Uh-huh. And I also asked Gordon, you know, I used the characterization of Rumsfeld as our only field marshal, and that he really is the commandant of all. And as the intelligence arms have been brought under him, and now the CIA will, in general, be responding to the Pentagon because we have a general who's going to run the CIA. And as he has consolidated his grip and his authority, he continues to duck accountability, and the administration as a whole will make these kind of bland and general statements about mistakes were made, but they never actually say which mistakes and what they've done to fix them.
The day-to-day tactical operations, troops going out and patrolling, troops kicking in doors, troops apprehending suspects, troops going out and patrolling and being hit by IEDs, being hit, but they run over IEDs that explode on their nearby explosions. Troops kicking in doors, troops apprehending suspects, troops going on patrol. Peter, it's this. The enemy has been rapidly changing, so now they're moving. Now our guys are moving faster, but they're, from what I can tell, it's the never-ending Groundhog Day kind of cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have this modernization of the military. We have the Air Force being trained to do convoy, and now the Navy. I've mentioned it before, but there's another battalion of Navy. They're not even Seabees.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they're volunteers or something. I don't know how they're hooking these guys to participate, but now we're going to see Navy casualties as much as, not as much as Army, but they're on convoy duty. The IEDs are out there waiting for them.
Well, and you have commented effectively on many occasions here, Scott, that we have Air Force people who are doing, police work, the equivalent of MP work on the ground in Iraq. We have Navy people far from any water who are there, running detention facilities and doing logistics support. And just as, the president would not dramatically propose to have pilots line up to guard the U.S.-Mexican border, they don't acknowledge the misfit of the mission with the troops, the boots who are on the ground there today. And the book very clearly depicts that and shows the failures going forward from the day when Bush declared mission accomplished.
And I don't care what Rumsfeld says, Peter. Last week I saw a picture of riverine operations in Iraq. You know, there's two ancient, old, famous rivers that run through Iraq, and the riverine operations, they look just like boats from Vietnam, and they were manned by soldiers of the 1st Armored Division.
Really?
Yes, and they were wearing their battle rattle and carrying sidearms, and they had a couple of mounted 50s. But yeah, I said that it was a DOD photo showing I'm not sure what, except the 1st Armored Division, and they were tankers from the 1st Armored Division, from a tank battalion. I mean, not just infantry that were part of the 1st Armored Division, but
mm-hmm.
tankers from the 1st Armored Division and River Team Operations patrolling the river. And I thought, we got Navy guys running convoys and protecting bases and things. We got Air Force, and we have the Army doing these. I'm all confused. But the enemy, Rumsfeld acknowledges, continually changing and adapting their ways, et cetera, et cetera. But we're not.
Yeah. All right, let's go to a break, and then we'll continue. Scott Dick is bringing us Rumsfeld Follies today, and we have some other issues to discuss. If you have a question or comment or something you want to talk about related to military and veterans issues, get on the line right now. Central Coast, a local call, 831-899-5792, or toll-free from anywhere within the sound of my voice, 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. You're in touch with the Peter B. Collins Show.
All you guys on the left, you demonize this president.
In Gitmo, they're not even garden variety POWs. They're the worst of the worst. They don't even receive the protection of the Geneva Conventions.
Man, I really believe that pagans and the abortionists and the feminists and the gays and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, People for America, all of them who tried to secularize America, I point the thing in their face that you helped us have.
I totally concur. And the problem is we've adopted that agenda at the highest levels of our government. And so,
Saddam Hussein is a threat to the American people. And I've got good evidence to believe that.
Undeclared chemical warheads in Iraq.
The declaration that he made is proof positive.
Saddam Hussein possesses some of the world's deadliest weapons.
Saddam Hussein has biological weapons and the capability to rapidly produce more, many more.
The world is increasingly seeing this from the United States' point of view.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
He's not disarming.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
This is KRXA 540 AM General Manager Hal Ginsberg with an important announcement about an exciting change in our weekday morning lineup. Casey, cut it out. This is very important. I'm trying to tell people about the show, our new program following Stephanie Miller, weekday mornings.
First of all, you're going to have to wake people up, Hal.
Haha, very funny. Just what we would expect from the number one morning news anchor in Sand City. So join Hal and Casey for the show.
I thought it was going to be Casey and Hal.
I changed it, which is my prerogative.
Your what?
Look it up! And please, join us weekday mornings from 9 to 10 for the show.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. And here's another tune from Neil Young's new CD called Living with War, here on the Peter B. Collins Show. This one's called Shock and Awe.
Thank you.
And we continue our conversation with Scott Dick. He's our contributor on military and veterans affairs here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And have we heard it all from Rummy this week?
I wish, but unfortunately not. Here's another stunner from Rumsfeld. I'll explain it after the piece.
All right.
You might also want to remind folks that for every story of failure, we know there are hundreds more of courage and self-sacrifice and America's proven can-do spirit.
So for every story of failure, hundreds of stories of courage and self-sacrifice. So after 3 years, 2,500 troops have been killed, 5,000 wounded. It's been estimated approximately 1,600 children have lost a parent in Iraq. We've had hundreds of success for every story of failure.
Yeah.
Interesting math.
Well, it's spin. You know, spin doesn't require any math, any facts, any underlying data. Assert it, and you just keep putting it out there, and then people believe it.
And there were 4,800 people in the audience, including the graduating class from the Institute. They'll be commissioned as second lieutenants, many of them in the reserves, the National Guard, and then they're supposed to basically, he was extolling them to go out and spin, just to continue the Republican talking points. But this last one, Peter, is the most remarkable in its stupidity. Obviously, his speechwriter doesn't know his history from the hole in the ground. So let's just play this. This
All
was
right.
30 seconds of nonsense.
Today, for example, we remember the D-Day invasion in World War II as a great American victory. That's how it's taught. But many historians also remember it for a series of strategic and tactical errors and decisions based on imperfect intelligence, difficulties that cost lives, and delayed the Allied advance. Actually, it was undoubtedly both of those things, which, of course, is often the nature of warfare.
Now, there are a lot of dissimilarities between our war against Iraq and D-Day and the war against Nazi Germany.
Well, first of all, Eisenhower had 3 million men under his control, and for the D-Day invasion, they had planned extensively and created whole new pieces of equipment just for that invasion. And one of the most important aspects was the preparation of parts for the two artificial ports. They towed them across the channel and sunk them. They did that so they'd have supplies. And it really, it was on 6th June, and by the end of that day, they had 150,000 men ashore, and although the first day's objectives weren't met, they had a lodgment that could not be pushed off, and it had defeated Rommel's plan to push him back into the ocean. So how he compares D-Day in Iraq should make every World War II veteran that's still alive just furious, because
yeah.
It's complete nonsense. It's crap. It's the non sequitur. They don't even belong in the same speech.
Well, and to compare failures of intelligence that caused complications at D-Day to the colossal intelligence failures, and in my view, they go beyond failures. There was a desire by the Bush administration not to look critically at the intelligence. They got what they wanted, and they bought into Saddam's bluff, and they wanted to go to war so badly that they weren't interested in the petty details of how weak that intelligence was and just how much Chalabi had jammed those channels with phony information like curveballs alleged. First-person accounts.
Right, and Peter, we had massive intelligence gathering operations going on in France before D-Day. We had this beautiful deception plan that completely hoodwinked the Germans into thinking the invasion was going to come from Calais instead of Normandy. It included using actually a dead person, a dead body, dressed in a military uniform, carrying a satchel that had all the war plans for attacking in Calais, and they made sure that the Germans, the intelligence, received that.
Mm-hmm.
So to compare the success of the pre-invasion intelligence of D-Day with the total failure of the intelligence that would describe the post-mission accomplished Iraq, I don't know, it defies any kind of logic in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love for another amateur historian to call up and say, no, they're very comparable. You know, you can compare these two operations completely.
Well, and again, to the book Cobra 2, what they show is that when the Pentagon spurned the planning that had been prepared by the State Department for the occupation phase in Iraq, and Rumsfeld was assigned to manage the occupation, they really didn't have a clue Jay Garner had been given about 60 days notice that he was going to be the first designated American leader of the CPA, the Coalition Provisional Authority.
Which, I want to interrupt, Peter,
sure,
that he filled, Bush filled with pioneers and sons and daughters of pioneers. They had no kind of training. They were just political. It was political nepotism of the worst kind.
Well, and on that score, you got to read Tom Friedman's column in today's New York Times, because he's critical of Bush for putting Porter Goss, and Porter Goss in turn putting Dusty Fogo in charge of the CIA. And it's a blistering attack on the cronyism. And you are correct that the CPA was loaded with political people who had no experience and, you know, no real interest in nation building.
And
that's the other phenomenal thing, is that Rumsfeld's original plan was that most U.S. troops would be out of Iraq by August or September of 2003. They had no intention of hanging around. They wanted to put Chalabi or Alawi in charge and just move on.
And Peter Bramer was a counterterrorism expert. And what he did by eliminating the police and the armed forces, he created the perfect conditions for insurgency.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what playbook he was operating out of, the insurgency one or the counterinsurgency one. You know, the prep for insurgency on the bad guy's side or the U.S. counterinsurgency, because it makes no logical sense. And they $1 billion vaporized from out of the pockets of the CPA, and nobody's even looked at that.
Right. No, Rice believes that the institutions of government would be intact, and all we had to do was put in the top-level people, that essentially mid-level and below bureaucrats would keep their jobs, and, you know, we'd be able to just move along. And, you know, then there was this recognition once we got there, A, that the infrastructure was in much worse shape than anybody had thought, and therefore you couldn't get oil revenues going, you couldn't get a government up and functioning, you couldn't even get the electrical grid to work. And again, when Bremer made the decision to dismiss all of the army, Rice apparently was not even in the loop on that decision. And at that point, she had been put in charge of the occupation.
It's the only way you could compare D-Day to Iraq is if Eisenhower was told, when you get those 150,000 troops into Normandy, then whatever. And the only reason they were just told, whatever. We don't have a plan for after you get them on the ground, just get them on the ground there.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason that the Normandy invasion stalled is because the logistics tell. They were logistically, 97 days, they were at where the logistic planners had suspected they would plan for them to be at 365 days. And they sorted that out within a couple of months, and they were back. They created the Red Ball Express, which is a famous truck line. And so how this nincompoop speechwriter put these two into a speech is beyond me. And then Rumsfeld, I can't believe he didn't redline that before he stood up to the podium in front of all these military grads and said this crap.
Yeah. Just amazing.
It's amazing.
Well, Scott, thank you for bringing us another edition of Rumsfeld's Follies today. I do want to acknowledge a listener who I think tunes in for your portions of our broadcast, Carl Young, who is the VP of Vietnam Vets of America, Chapter 781 in Ferndale. Carl, thanks for the emails you've sent, and I will forward those to Scott, and we might cover some of those issues in upcoming episodes. Scott, thanks for joining us today.
Peter, it's always a pleasure with you, but, you know, Rumsfeld Follies is no fun.
Yeah, you're right about that. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Coming up next, we're going to break for the top of the hour news, and then Professor David Ray Griffin will join us. He is the author of the 9/11 Commission Report, Omissions and Distortions, as well as The New Pearl Harbor. We'll get his reaction to yesterday's release of photographs, which the corporate media tells us prove that a 757 flew into the Pentagon on 9/11. Call me skeptical. Also on the way today, Larissa Alexandrovna with more of her investigative reporting on Iran. That's all ahead right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Where go? Tom Hartman. And over the last 3 days, the new conservative talking points that have been going out are blame it on Bill Clinton.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
The high gas prices, we got to shift the blame to the Democrats, say it's all because he didn't let them drill in Anwar. The real reason is because for almost 20 years now, the Republicans have prevented us from raising CAFE standards, the corporate average fuel efficiency standards. Average fuel efficiency of a car right now is back where it was in the 70s.
Tom Hartman, weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Supposed to give the illegals here a chance, but to keep others out.
The American people expect this.
An inflation report leads to a bad day on Wall Street.
The Dow suffered its biggest one-day point drop in about 3 years.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. President Bush's middle ground proposals on immigration gained momentum on Capitol Hill today. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
The Senate voted to build 400 miles of fence along the Mexican border and bar illegal immigrants who commit crimes from qualifying for legal status. But senators backed the transition to citizenship for most of the rest, despite objections from Georgia Republican Saxby Chambliss.
It all comes down to the simple question of whether or not you oppose or you favor amnesty.
Not at all, said fellow Republican John McCain.
Call it amnesty. Call it a banana if you want to. But the fact is that it has earned citizenship.
White House aide Karl Rove met with House Republicans today, trying to defuse the minefield that awaits this immigration bill once it passes the Senate. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
This is Barry Bagnato on the Mall in Washington, where within sight of the Capitol, demonstrators are demanding full rights for immigrants. U.S. flags are being waved here, not the Mexican ones that stirred up a backlash at past rallies. Congressman Luis Gutierrez, an Illinois Democrat, demanded that his colleagues not treat immigrants as criminals.
We are not criminals. We are here to work to make this country a better place for all Americans to live in.
The turnout here, not even close to the tens of thousands organizers predicted, a sign that after weeks of heated debate, immigration fever is dying down.
Now this.
The following is a message from Pfizer.
This is Dr. Drew Pinsky. Some of you may know me as Dr. Drew. Today's topic is men's sexual health, more specifically, performance problems. And we've got a brave guy on the line.
I don't know why I'm even calling, because it's not really an issue. It only happens every once in a while, like when I'm tired or stressed out, a little under the weather.
Just a guess, but are we talking about erectile dysfunction?
Oh, no, not ED. Just a very occasional little glitch. Yeah, I'd call it an erectile glitch.
Well, a lot of guys don't realize it, but ED may not happen all the time. It can be unpredictable.
Now you mention it, I never know when it's going to happen.
And that's something you want to live with?
Good, fine. I'll talk to my doctor.
To learn more about ED and how to treat it, talk to your doctor or visit justasktoday.com.
The closing bell halted a stock market slide that started this morning. The Dow lost 214 points, nearly 2%, to close at 11,205.
Today's sell-off was really a knee-jerk reaction to the latest inflation report.
CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus.
It's all about inflation fears on Wall Street. The latest report showed consumer prices rose more than expected last month. That just reignited inflation fears and makes it more likely now that the Federal Reserve will have to continue raising interest rates to keep inflation at bay.
The Nasdaq finished 33 points lower at 2,195. At the White House,
it's now my honor to sign the Tax Increase Prevention and Reconciliation Act of 2005.
CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer was on hand for the ceremony.
With the band playing and loyal Republicans at his side, President Bush has signed what he describes as vital legislation. This bill signing, though, is guaranteed to charge up the election year debate on tax relief. The president and GOP allies say the cuts help drive the economy. But Democrats complain the measure favors the rich and fuels deficits.
It totals $70 billion. Defense Secretary Rumsfeld today acknowledged that officials in the Pentagon can't agree on interrogation techniques for suspected terrorists.
There is a debate over the difference between a prisoner of war under the Geneva Convention and an unlawful combatant.
That issue is whether unlawful combatants can be subjected to harsher treatment. The House Ethics Committee has launched investigations of Ohio Republican Bob Ney and Louisiana Democrat William Jefferson, who were already the targets of federal bribery probes. Jurors at the fraud trial of former Enron executives Ken Lay and Jeff Skilling have gone home for the night without reaching a verdict. Their first deliberating session lasted just a few hours. The FBI is searching a property in Oakland County, Michigan, not far from the restaurant where Teamsters leader Jimmy Hoffa was last seen in July 1975. His fate remains a mystery. An FBI spokeswoman says they get numerous leads about Hoffa's disappearance and, quote, this is one we felt we needed to follow up on. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
There's nothing small about today's small business. Big hours make up big work weeks. Every meeting is a big meeting. Every call is a big call. When the only printer for all the computers breaks down, it's a big problem. And now, thanks to Aflac, even small business insurance has gone big. Introducing Aflac for Small Business. Now, your small business can have the same great Aflac accident and disability coverage the big guys get. For more information, call 1-800-99-AFLAC or visit aflacsb.com.
Aflac!
For small business. American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
Why do I like working for Verizon Wireless? For one thing, I love the challenge of managing new projects every day, all designed to make our network stronger and more efficient, and making sure we reach every milestone. But also, I love the flexibility. Whether I need training to learn a new skill or time to spend with my family, Verizon Wireless works as hard for me as I work for my customers. I'm Marlene Chua, Senior Technical Analyst. Our people, our network, Verizon Wireless. We never stop working for you.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Peter B. Collins. Welcome to the show they named after me. Coming up later this hour, Larissa Alexandrovna, the investigative reporter from RawStory.com, updates us on the Rove indictment. Where is it? Where is it? And also on the situation between the U.S. and Iran. And next hour, David Bacon, the author of The Children of NAFTA, Labor Wars on the U.S.-Mexico Border, will join us to talk about the president's speech the other night. If you have a question or comment, you can call us 831-899-5792 or toll free 888-579-2540. I want to welcome back to our program a distinguished gentleman who has contributed a great deal to the truth-seeking around the events of 9/11/2001. He is a professor of theology, I believe retired now, from Claremont University. David Ray Griffin. Professor, welcome to our program again.
Glad to be back with you, Peter.
Am I correct that you retired?
Yes, that's right.
Well, congratulations to you. It gives you more time to work on your books.
Yes, we're very happy about that.
And let me just point out that your book, The New Pearl Harbor, opened my eyes to the lingering questions about what really happened on 9/11. And you raised substantive issues about the huge disparities between what we've been told and the physical evidence of the various sites of attacks against our country that day. And you followed up with a powerful book, The 9/11 Commission Report, Omissions and Distortions. I went looking for it on my bookshelf today, Professor, and somebody borrowed it without signing it out. And I'm a little bit disappointed about that, but I'll get over it. I wanted to get your reaction.
Let me add, Peter, that I've got another one coming out.
Oh, you do?
That will be out in about a month. It's already available to be ordered on Amazon. And it's the first one I've written, particularly from my perspective as a theologian. And
mm-hmm.
It's called Christian Faith and the Truth Behind 9/11.
All right. Christian Faith and the Truth Behind 9/11. Well, we will be looking for that, and I'd love to have you back on the show for a lengthy discussion about that after it's been released.
Okay.
So, yesterday, responding to a Freedom of Information Act request from a conservative Washington group called Judicial Watch, some photographs were released. And as I watched on corporate news coverage last night, it was declared that these photos prove that the conspiracy nuts are that. They are nuts. They're wacko. and that there, in fact, was a 757 that slammed into the Pentagon on 9/11/2001. What was your reaction to these photographs, Professor?
Well, not much, because actually these the slides from those photographs, or from the video, at least one of them had been released clear back in 2002.
Indeed.
So for people familiar with the 9/11 truth movement, I mean, they're all over the Internet. So there was really nothing new. We did think that maybe seeing the actual video, seeing them in motion, we might get a little better clue as to what that object was that hit the Pentagon.
Mm-hmm.
But if you saw the same ones I did, you saw you couldn't see much of anything but a blur. And so for anybody to declare that that proved it was Flight 77, or at least a Boeing 757, was pretty strange. And yet that's what a lot of the news people were saying, even though they were admitting it wasn't very clear and it went awfully fast. And some people, not on the mainstream news, but on the Internet, said that even one military guy said, you know, to me, it looked more like a missile or a small military airplane.
Yeah.
So it's kind of strange that they would release it and make a big claim that somehow this was going to put these alternative theories to rest.
And let me just acknowledge, I'm not much of an expert at much of anything, but I've got eyes. They still work. And I watched this footage over and over again last night on my big screen TV. And all I could see was the nose of something.
Yeah.
But it was much more similar to a fighter jet that has one of those almost like a shark's nose. I'm thinking of a swordfish. A swordfish nose, you know, a tip. That comes out that some side of sort of a communications antenna. It did not look like an airliner that usually has a kind of big black ball that is the nose cone.
Yeah, and you know there was actually one thing about that film that was quite revealing, which was it showed people how close to the ground that aircraft was. I mean, it was just skimming right along the surface of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Although, as we know from the photographs, although some people have said it hit the ground and then bounced into the Pentagon, there is no sign of that whatsoever, that anything touched down. And that means that it just proves that it could not, the official story isn't true, because Hani Hanjour, who's the alleged pilot from Al-Qaeda, who was supposed to be in control of that,
right,
simply was not good enough with a Cessna that people would go up with him twice and to claim that he could somehow fly a plane that close to the ground, which even my understanding is even most accomplished pilots could not fly that close to the ground at that speed and be safe. Furthermore, he allegedly wasn't just skimming around along the ground all the way, but had made a 270-degree downward spiral, which several pilots in the 9/11 Truth Movement have said, I'm not sure even a very accomplished pilot could do this, and for the idea that Hani Hanjour did it is just absolutely absurd.
Well, and what we're seeing here, particularly on the part of the news media, is a stunning lack of skepticism and just examining the evidence presented. Because you could say that, you know, this has been released and this is what the government says, but I didn't hear any independent voices last night attempting to say, well, let's really take this apart and see if it's true. It was just taken at face value, and it is intended to buttress the mythology we've been told. No further questions need be asked.
Well, that's right. The anchors came on and just said, this film shows Flight 77 crashing into the Pentagon, as if that was a factual news statement, not an editorial opinion. And, you know, it shows that Stephen Colbert was not wrong when he described the mainstream news writers as just taking, you know, the president is the decider, he decides, He tells the press secretary what to say. Press secretary speaks to you, and you type it down, and then you can go home and write your big novel, you know. So they just repeat it as if it's gospel truth, even though they look at it and say, well, you know, it's not very clear, but that doesn't lead them to say, well, maybe we should hold off on declaring that it was Flight 77.
Mm-hmm.
It's very strange.
And also, I do understand that what we saw were pictures, were frames, that were in sequence but not consecutive in terms of time. There were gaps between each frame that we saw. But they want us to believe that between frame one and frame two, whatever the nose thing we saw passed by, and there's absolutely no photograph of the fuselage of whatever it is that passed by. And then the next frame is post-impact with an explosion coming off the side of the Pentagon. So even if there were no edits between the frames that we saw, it's hardly conclusive of the sequence of events that we've been told to believe.
No, it's almost as if they took those frames out because they didn't want anybody stopping them and being able to study them.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay to have the aircraft there when it's hidden behind a column, but you wouldn't want it right out there in the open where somebody could blow it up.
And the explanation is it was going 550 miles an hour. Well, but still, you're telling me that we wouldn't see the wings, we wouldn't see the fuselage, we wouldn't see the tail section as it presumably went into the building and vaporized.
Right.
I mean, it is so far-fetched, and yet it was presented as if it all made sense and that anybody who didn't get it is somehow off base.
Well, and there's another very strange thing, too. That fire is very red. And yet they said, the fire was caused by all of these thousands of gallons of jet fuel. But when you look at the fires from the World Trade Center, they are orange, yellow, mm-hmm. and then, of course, they go out very quickly. It's just black smoke. But they're the kind of fire that you get from jet fuel, which is essentially kerosene.
Correct.
So there should have been some skepticism, some question about that. Why was the fire so much redder than the fire, if it's the same kind of fuel as the fire in the towers?
And, Professor, the only frame that they showed us that has this partial aircraft, we don't know what kind of aircraft, but some sort of aircraft in the far right portion, there is a flash, some sort of a silver or kind of white flash cloud immediately in front of that, maybe, I'm guessing, 150 feet. And there's been no explanation of that. I don't know what the heck that was.
No, and of course the film is so blurry that I don't think anybody could. I mean, people have speculated, but I don't think we could draw much from it. But I would like to make now what I think is the main point that should have been discussed, and that is when they said they were going to release videos, those of us in the movement know that the FBI immediately, you know, within 5 minutes of the strike on the Pentagon, was across the street there to the Citgo gas station,
right,
and took the film from its camera, which would have been trained right on the Pentagon and would have shown exactly what it was to hit the Pentagon. So I couldn't believe it when I read that statement that the film was going to be released, the video was going to be released, because I assumed it was going to be that one or the one that they confiscated almost immediately also from a nearby hotel. We assume it was the Sheraton.
Right.
Or there's one from the Virginia Transportation Department. Now, the Department of Justice, here, this is stuff I don't think you heard on any of the channels last night. The Department of Justice has admitted that it has the video from the Citgo gas station because.
Oh, really?
Another guy, let's see, his name is Bingham. Mm-hmm. It's not Mark Bingham,
right.
The famous name. I guess you know what I'm referring to on Flight 93.
I do. Uh-huh.
The guy who says, "Hi, Mom, it's Mark Bingham."
Right.
This, I believe, is Steve Bingham, and I'm going to check it here on my computer. I think if you just Google on Steve Bingham on Google, you would get this.
Okay.
And it'll show you his Freedom of Information request and show you then the Department of Justice's response. And they... let's see.
All right, while you're doing that, let me pick up a caller here who wants to greet you, Dr. Griffin. This is Dave in Humboldt. Hi, Dave. Go ahead.
A long-time admirer, Professor. I'd say that just about everybody that we've subjected to all of your research has come to the conclusion that this day never could have happened without not only the approval and blessing of the White House, but an active role they had to play in it. That's the conclusion we're all coming to. I have been a pilot for years, and I've studied a lot of plane crashes. There is no such thing as a plane crash, no matter how violent, that you don't have parts of the plane laying around.
Right.
So that's just out of the question. The plane that was supposed to hit Building 7 got recovered, I believe, by the passengers, and so they had to, one, shoot the plane down, but the building had to come down, too. They couldn't have people in there looking at all the explosives that they planted in there, so... the main thing I would say that above all else is the fact that our government grabs, impounds, and disposes of evidence everywhere and does not want us to see whatever reality there is to see, that in itself tells me all I need to know.
All right. Dave, I wish we had more time, but I'm running late for a break, and I'm on borrowed time with the professor. So thanks for joining us today. David Ray Griffin, thank you, too. I appreciate all your work.
Okay, and let me just correct myself. It's Scott Bingham.
Okay.
So they can see that the Department of Justice admitted to having this and claimed they couldn't release it because of the Moussaoui trial.
Mm-hmm.
And now that that's over, why didn't they?
We'll take a look at that. And, Professor, when your book is out, I look forward to a lengthier conversation. Thanks for taking time to join us today.
You bet. Thank you.
David Ray Griffin. Read his most recent book, The 9/11 Commission Report, Omissions and Distortions. More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
KRXA 540 takes a look at your traffic situation right now. We're running a little behind, and Amy Knight's on duty. Let's check it out.
Highway 9 at Redwood Gulch Road, an injury accident with a motorcyclist down in the roadway. Also, northbound 9 at Love Creek Road in Ben Lomond, a broken down truck blocking the northbound lane. Watch out for debris. Northbound 1 after Fremont Boulevard, there's a large piece of metal in the left lane. Did you know that ants talk by smell? The Orkin man knows. He's trained to sniff out bugs and remove them. Remember, if it bugs you, bug the Orkin man at 1-800-ORKIN-MAN. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
We'll be back on time at our next report about 20 minutes from now.
No problem.
All right. Thank you very much. And Casey's got your traffic every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m. during the show, right here on KRXA 540. Go ahead and hum the rest of the song to yourselves. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 25 minutes past the hour. We're getting ready for the return of Larissa Alexandrovna. She'll be with us in just a few minutes here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And in the meantime, two things I just wanted to mention. The president signed the tax cuts into law today and is completely oblivious to the real impact of what he has presided over. There was a $1 trillion surplus when he took office, and we now have deficits and debt in the trillions. And we haven't honestly accounted for the true cost of the adventure in Iraq. And yet he has no compunction about extending the tax cuts and really ensuring that we operate in deficit mode for many, many years to come. And sure, it helps his buddies, but the last tax cuts haven't trickled down to me, so I figure it's going to be quite a while before these ones do. Also, I want to recommend to you in today's San Francisco Chronicle, there's a wacky guy who shows up on the back page of the feature section, the datebook section, and it's a cartoon strip called Bad Reporter, and the author is Don Asmussen. And this guy ranges from deadly to really deadly with his sense of humor. And I realize the cartoons don't always translate that well onto the radio, but that won't stop me. Panel 1, apoplectic AT&T now offering spy waiting option to angry customers. And then under the AT&T logo in italics, there's a cute little phrase, "You bin Laden? We bin listening." It goes on, fun new feature gives customers the choice of Bush or Cheney listening in. Sign up now, and your first five amendments are free for the first 6 months. The next panel, Cheney monitors media phone calls to trace leaker, catches Cheney. Phone monitoring plan abruptly halted. Those close to Cheney claim he had absolutely no idea he was the leaker and is devastated. And the final panel, 51% of babies against moms secretly monitoring their naps. Most feel cat sucking out my breath threat is exaggerated. A USA Today report reveals moms have been secretly using baby monitoring devices since 1979. Well, it's worth reading, and it will play better if you go to the website at sfgate.com and look up Bad Reporter, and hope I didn't ruin it for you. All right, we got a quick break, and then we return with Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com. Coming up next hour, we get reaction to the president's immigration positions from David Bacon. That's all ahead, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just-renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Hey, Sheila Gale here from the number one reality radio show at KRXA. Join me this Saturday between 6 and 7 p.m. for more dating tales and dating nightmares with our lady Lana, and hear updates from our former gang member, Robert X. We'll have a conversation with an Indonesian Muslim and hear about his experiences since 9/11. So don't miss us. Saturday between 6 and 7 p.m. with me, Sheila Gale. Reality Radio, AM 540, KRXA.
So it means that our investigation turned up nothing.
Because somebody testifies by him before a grand jury doesn't mean he's involved.
And it's flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men are three women can rule.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you retire, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. Got to catapult the propaganda.
We're going.
Tom Hartman.
When Thomas Jefferson wrote Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Happiness into the Declaration of Independence in 1776, it was the first time in the history of the world that the word happiness had been used in the founding document of any so-called civilized nation.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
And Ronald Reagan was the guy who began to take it apart. He was the perfect frontman for really what was fundamentally a vicious idea.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. A quick note for our listeners on KGOE in Eureka. You're going to be breaking away from us in a few minutes to hear a Giants baseball game. Do not blame Karl Rove or Homeland Security. This is a planned event. Every week we get an update from our favorite investigative reporter at RawStory.com, Larissa Alexandrovna, and she joins us this afternoon. Hello, Larissa.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine, and thank you for your statement of solidarity with Jason Leopold on Monday.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've been in that position, so I, you know, this attack first, let's wait for confirmation later, is really a problem that the left seems to be unable to control.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's, if you know, you want a free press, but it's the sign of the first, you know, problem won't back your reporters. I think it's terrible.
Yeah. Interesting update today from Jason and his editor, Mark Ash, at truthout.org.
Right.
That there is additional corroboration to the items that Jason published on Friday and Saturday related to meetings that occurred on Friday at the Patton Boggs. And is Blow still in the picture, or did they get rid of Blow?
You know, I don't know.
Anyway, the Patton Boggs Law Firm, which is where the attorney for Rove operates from, that's Robert Luskin.
Right.
And Luskin and a paid spinner have flatly denied those assertions in Jason's reporting. And
right.
Now some, what I understand, are network news people who had cameras running outside of the office building on Friday confirm that Fitzgerald was there and that Luskin was there, even though Luskin said he took the day off to take his cat to the pet hospital.
Right, right. And there are other reporters I've talked to who are in the mainstream who also have been able to get a source that confirms Jason's reporting, but they have a single source in some cases. In some cases, they've been, well, and this part is more from Jason. I'm not privy to this, but they were pressured from their editors to sit on it.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jason can speak more to that than I can.
Yeah.
But, you know, the level of detail he got, you know, I just think that people need to calm down and simply wait. That, you know, Rove's going to be indicted. I don't think that's even up for debate anymore. And when he is, Jason will either be vindicated or the story will have to be investigated by Truthout to see what went wrong
mm-hmm.
internally. Because the date of the filing, or rather the grand jury signing off on the whole thing, will be on the document.
Right.
So it need not matter when he makes the announcement.
Mm-hmm.
I just think people need to calm down.
Well, and let me just recite from the Saturday posting that Jason wrote at truthout.org.
Right.
An announcement by Fitzgerald is expected to come this week, sources close to the case said. However, the day and time is unknown. So Jason's being very clear there that he doesn't have detailed information on next steps. What he did report is that his sources indicate that indictments were returned against Rove on Friday.
Right. No, and the thing is, as I said on Monday, when I had gotten a call over the weekend from a source I trust, who's not a source for Jason, you know, and this is a source that I've worked with for over a year who was one of my sources for the Iran plane story. And I didn't get any detailed information like Jason, but I got, yes, Rove was indicted. But again, I, as other reporters, I only had one source, so I couldn't write anything.
Mm-hmm.
I still can't. That doesn't mean, you know, Jason's sources are wrong. Should the story pan out, and I don't see at this point why it shouldn't, but should the story pan out, he clearly has some amazing sources, and why is the left joining the right in attacking him? I don't know.
Yeah.
They just can't seem to wait, see what happens, and let the chips fall where they may. I find it very hard to believe that Truthout editors would run a story like this without
mm-hmm.
calling the sources and speaking to at least some of the sources. It would be very negligent. So I don't think they just took Jason's word for it and said, okay, let's run with this.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we just have to wait and see. And I think we'll know soon enough, and he will either be vindicated, in which case I doubt these people will give him an apology. And if he is not vindicated, that doesn't mean he was wrong in his reporting, or that
his
sources may have been wrong.
Right. If he reports something that is either wrong or that was the result of a lie from a source,
right.
That doesn't mean that he's a liar. It means that he trusted a source. Larissa,
right.
We got to take a quick break here because our listeners in Eureka are going to be cutting away for Giants baseball. I think it's the Houston Astros tonight. And that game's coming up here shortly on KGOE in Eureka. I'm Peter B. Collins. Eureka, thanks for listening today. We'll be back at you tomorrow. And Ray McGovern will be reporting live from in front of Donald Rumsfeld's house. That's tomorrow, right here. Okay, now we can continue. So, anything else you want to add on the Leopold Rove story right now, Larissa?
Oh, are we still on the air?
Oh, yes, we are. We just
allowed one
of our stations to depart.
Oh, I see. Okay, I thought that was the commercial.
No. Now we're down to 42 million listeners from 55.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. I think we just need to wait and see, and you know, the facts will be, the facts of the reality can't be escaped. Either, the story is vindicated or it's not. But again, just to in terms of sourcing, you know, when you've worked with sources for a very long time, it's not sometimes that they're lying or setting you up. It's sometimes that they may be wrong on particulars. I just think it's too early in the game to speculate as to what may have gone wrong when we don't even know if anything did go wrong. So.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now let's turn to the story that you've been working diligently on and that caused you to sweat for a couple of months, and that is, of course, our posture toward Iran. And at Raw Story Today, you have posted an article from the British newspaper The Herald, which says the U.S. is updating contingency plans for a non-nuclear strike to cripple Iran's atomic weapons program if international diplomacy fails, Pentagon sources have confirmed.
Right.
Strategists are understood to have presented two options, pinpoint strikes using B-2 bombers, some coming out of the United States, some from Guam, others Diego Garcia in the Indian Ocean.
That sounds awfully familiar, doesn't it?
It certainly does. Let me just read on a little more.
Okay.
The Royal Air Force Fairford in Gloucester also has facilities for B-2s, but this has been ruled out because of the UK's opposition to military action against Tehran. I thought they took out Jack Straw, and, sure.
Yeah, no, I mean, as I said, they're not happy. I think nobody is. The U.S., this administration has made clear we don't need anyone else. We can go it alone if need be.
Mm-hmm. The main plan calls for a rolling 5-day bombing campaign against 400 key targets in Iran, mm-hmm. including 24 nuclear-related sites, or nuclear if you're the president, 14 military airfields and radar installations, and Revolutionary Guard headquarters. At least 75 targets in underground complexes would be attacked with waves of bunker buster bombs.
Right.
So that's the word we're getting out of Britain. Do your sources confirm this as contingency planning, or has it been ramped up a level or two above that?
Well, I mean, it's still the same as I had left it when I reported my article, which this seems to sound a lot like, almost verbatim, in terms of locations with the type of bombers that would be used. Nothing has changed since my last report in terms of that there seems to be a lot of concern regarding a potential strike on Iran, and that there is a lot of concern that that strike will be coming sooner rather than later. The carriers are something of great concern because my understanding is, I said, isn't it possible that these carriers could be used to relieve other carriers already in the region? And everyone I spoke to said, these carriers are a sure sign that something's going on. So there's a lot of concern, and that certainly hasn't changed. But for whatever reason, aside from the foreign press and really Cy Hirsch and myself, no one is covering this, and that worries me.
Because?
Well, because because if no one's covering it, then the people aren't informed, and to some extent, I don't think Congress is informed because they get a lot of their own information from news reports. Certainly, some of the members of Congress have read my news reports, but I think they'd feel more comfortable bringing to the table and holding up a newspaper like the Washington Post and saying, look, is this true? You know, you have to tell us. I don't think, until that happens, it's kind of like, well, it's a contingency. Well, it could happen. And that, well, may be true. It may just be a contingency. But the way things are being presented, and certainly a lot of the background stuff that I can't discuss and can't write about, it seems to, make this seem a lot more than a contingency plan or even two contingency plans.
Yeah. And, Larissa, I realize I'm about to raise a quaint point because it has to do with the limits of presidential power, and this president doesn't acknowledge any
right.
such limits. But in my view, there is currently no congressional authority for the president to launch even a limited type of airstrike to get their attention or to blow up the Natanz facility or something like that. Do you agree with that?
Well, I mean, there's no authority for this president to do half the things he's been doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see why the lack of congressional oversight should stop anything that's going on. You know, essentially, with the NSA wiretapping program and with the detainee abuse,
mm-hmm.
Those memos and those assertions by the Department of Justice and the attorneys there, if the president does it, it's legal. And so far, Congress hasn't disputed that, really. And so there's no reason to think that they would in any way do anything other than roll over for this as well. I mean, they're aware. It's not like they're not aware of my reports, of the foreign press reports. But it may well be that even if the Washington Post or New York Times wrote something, they may ignore those reports as well. I don't know. But thus far, they've had more than enough information to absolutely demand that questions be answered.
All right. We're going to take a break and return with Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com. If you have a question or comment, get on the line now. And, Eugenia, I'm going to ask you next. 831-899-5792 is our number on the Central Coast. That's a local call. You can also use our toll-free circuit. The NSA may know about your call. We can't prevent that, at least not to my knowledge. 888-579-2540 is the number. That's 888-579-2540 here at the Peter B. Collins Show.
We're going.
Tom Hartman.
And over the last 3 days, the new conservative talking points that have been going out are blame it on Bill Clinton.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
The high gas prices, we got to shift the blame to the Democrats, say it's all because he didn't let them drill in Anwar. The real reason is because for almost 20 years now, the Republicans have prevented him from raising CAFE standards, the corporate average fuel efficiency standards. Average fuel efficiency of a car right now is back where it was in the 70s.
Tom Hartman, weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
It's so exciting, honestly, to just be back on the air. And this was a great victory, not for me individually or not even for the group that helped put this together, but for the community. And quite frankly, it really shows you that when we all bond together in a common cause, great things that can be done. I mean, Margaret Mead is the one who had that quote. She says, never let it be said that the work of a small group of committed people can change the world. For often, that's the only thing that ever has.
Mike Newcomb's Week in Review. Tune in Sundays from noon to 2 right here on KRXA 540.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
KRXA 540 looks at traffic now. It's 4:48. Here is Amy Knight.
South 17 before the Lexington Reservoir. Broken down vehicle blocks the right lane. Also Highway 9 at Redwood Gulch Road. An injury accident with a motorcyclist down. Still clearing. Good news for Capitola. Southbound 1 before 41st Avenue. An earlier accident cleared. But a new problem in San Benito County. North 101 at 129. A vehicle went off the roadway and into a creek. Highway Patrol reportedly on scene. And watch out for some debris. North 101 just before Maston Avenue. Looks like a roll of plastic in the lanes. Aches and pains keeping you up. Well, big news, new Advil PM is here, the multi-pain reliever power of Advil, plus a gentle pain aid. New Advil PM, stop hurting and start sleeping. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Amy. We'll check back with you in about a half an hour.
All right.
All right. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Thank you, Edwin, and Feats, don't fail me now. Coming up just after the top of the hour, David Bacon returns to our program. We'll get his comments on the president's immigration speech the other night. We continue with Larissa Alexandrovna from rawstory.com. And Larissa, one of our sharp listeners, Eugenia, has called the program a few times. And after hearing your description of a potential sequence of events leading up to these strikes on Iran, she keyed in on one of the descriptions you gave, which is that they are massing three carrier groups in the Persian Gulf region.
Right.
And Eugenia has raised the point that if we put three carrier groups in the Gulf, I mean, some could be laying off in the Indian Ocean, but if we put three of them in there, that they would be targets for Iran. And
right.
So her theory is that this could be creating a new Pearl Harbor. Which many people are sensitive about because of the language in the Project for a New American Century. And while I think her theory is worth pursuing, we all have this sense of, gosh, our country would never do that.
You know, I had thought of that actually myself because, you know, the president himself in the lead up to the war with Iraq had wanted to disguise planes as UN planes, if you remember.
Yes, I do.
And hope that they were shut down and hope, you know, to provoke an attack. So it's not like I haven't thought of this, and I have, but until something actually happens of that nature, like a Gulf of Tonkin type of thing, there really is no way to, you know, conclusively say one way or another. I suspect not, because they don't need it. They really don't. So I really don't see any reason why they would do that. It would just be more explaining to do. But then again, you know, these guys never cease to surprise me. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything new on timing, on trigger points, on the carrier groups?
Well, I do have some new information, but I don't know how much of it I'm going to publicly include in an article for now. I just there's certain things that I feel requires something harder in terms of evidence, and sometimes sourcing. I don't think just sourcing is enough. You really need to have some sort of evidence, a document or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I really can't speculate because I don't know how much I'm going to include. But I do want to say that the concerns are still there and they have not decreased. So I think that's important to note.
Mm-hmm. Anything new regarding our efforts to curry favor with Turkey in regard to a platform to attack Iran from?
Well, we don't need a platform. And I think we're done in terms of pursuing Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, we've befriended Libya.
That is an interesting development in our move to support democracy in the Middle East.
Right. And I can't get anyone to explain that to me for any reasonable, anything that sounds reasonable.
It's just oil.
No, I mean, I've been told, you know, that it's because they want to show what a good, by the various State Department folks, I've been told, you know, that it's because they want to show what happens when, you know, one pursues a democratic process and doesn't work with nuclear enrichment, they become part of the fold. They're showing as an example, which is hilarious because, as we know, this administration doesn't care about bringing Iran into the fold. What they want is regime change. And so while that's a really nice bedtime story, I really have to wonder if the Libya connection here is somehow going to be played out as well. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't
I can't think of how they might use Libya, but it would be an interesting new ally.
Yeah. Now, Larissa, have you examined the Israeli angle vis-a-vis Iran, in particular with Ehud Olmert now officially taking over as prime minister? Do you detect that this is as high a priority in Israel as it is in Washington?
Well, I'm getting mixed messages because the Washington, I guess you could say, Likudists are very much pushing this, whereas Israel proper doesn't seem to be, at least not in terms of any verification that I can find. That I'm hearing on one side, I'm hearing, you know, Israel, if we don't attack, Israel will, and what will happen then? On the other side, I'm hearing, well, it's really more the Likudniks here in the States and, the corporatists, and that Israel proper isn't really interested. So I honestly don't know. I can't get a clear-cut picture from anyone in terms of what's going on behind the scenes.
And so this what you just cited, and I've heard it too, that there is concern that Israel might launch an attack before we did.
Right.
What is the downside to the United States of that? Because I realize I end up stepping on somebody's toes whenever you criticize Israel. But my position is that the threat from Iran is, A, not imminent, and, B, not a threat to the United States at this point.
Right.
We're trying to make it our fight, and I believe it's a regional issue, and that as the leading democratic nuclear power in the Middle East, that it's really much more on Israel's plates than it should be on ours.
Right, but Israel has a lot of bargaining to do. And by the way, I'm a Jew, so I think we're covered.
Okay, good.
I owe my departure from the Soviet Union to Israel. So It's, but the reality is that Israel is playing in some way, either through representatives here who claim to be representing Israel or through real behind the scenes way, is playing some sort of role. And, it'd be one thing if we didn't act, if we just said, fine, you want to attack them, go ahead. And I've asked the same question. I said, let's just let them go do what they want to do. The problem is it would destabilize the region. It would destabilize oil markets. And I think that's the concern if Israel is allowed to just go willy-nilly and do it alone.
Well, I think Arab fundamentalists intentionally conflate the U.S. and Israel in too many cases.
Yeah, I agree. And
that,
I think that the
an action by Israel would be seen as a provocation by the U.S. as well.
Maybe, maybe not. There's some people saying Israel is pushing this. But, in my own opinion, it has been for some time, I have often wondered if the West isn't playing Israel and the various Muslim states against one another, as opposed to the other way around, to justify having this sort of tension always in the area.
Mm-hmm.
Because it seems to me like the big winner in the Iraq war was Iran, and I don't think Israel would have wanted that. So I'm not quite sure how Israel, might fare better with these guys doing an Iran job. So I've asked Michael Adin this, actually. I've asked him if it's possible that the two sides are being played against each other. But he seems to think that's not possible. And I find that hilarious, given the ancestry of this president.
My super producer, Matt, asked the question, what about the threat that Iran might convert to the euro as the base currency for oil trading from the dollar?
Well, that's the argument that some have made, and it's certainly a good argument. There's no reason to think that that's the only issue here on the table. As I've said this often, I don't think people understand just how much of an issue China is in all of this and our positioning to be able to, now that we've sold everything to China, including our money, to have a bargaining chip with China in the region. And China has a lot of resources and interests in Iran, as does Russia. So I think there's a combination of issues, and it's quite possible, and I would almost say probable, that the euro, the conversion to the euro is one of those issues.
Yeah. Larissa, we're out of time. Thanks for joining us today. Stay on the story, and when bulletins break, call us.
I will. Thank you.
All right. Larissa Alexandrovna, read her work at rawstory.com. Coming up next, another look at immigration policy here on the Peter B. Collins Show. David Bacon will join us next. Are you looking for money for college? Every year, billions of dollars in financial aid go unclaimed because parents just don't know how to properly access those funds. Mistakes are made in filling out applications. Deadlines are overlooked. And ultimately, it's the student who loses out on desperately needed funds. R.J. Moyer, president of AboutCollegeFunding.com, offers solutions to your financial aid dilemma.
If you're the parent of a college-bound high school junior or senior, critical deadlines are rapidly approaching, and we do specialize in late-stage college funding planning. Regardless of your income, assets, or home equity, I can help you send your child to the college of his or her choice without spending your life savings. But you must take action now.
AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. Call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Stocks took a 214-point tumble today. Not a huge number given the 11,000-plus Dow, but it is the biggest drop in 3 years, and it's been a down week. Yeshiva University economist Dr. Peter Sperling says higher consumer prices is what drove the Dow down.
0.6% increase is largely due to energy, plus some other things. The core price index only went up 0.3%, which is the same as it was last month. That's still a little bit higher than the Federal Reserve would like to see.
And so Wall Street worries the Fed may hike interest rates again soon. President Bush signed the bill extending $70 billion of his tax cuts today.
With this bill, we're sending the American people a clear message about our policy. We're going to continue to trust the American people with their own money. We'll continue to be wise with the people's money in Washington. We'll continue to work to make sure the tax cuts are permanent.
Outside the Capitol, a rally saying all illegal immigrants ought to get a free pass to citizenship. The Senate is going along with the major parts of the president's worker program and the Get Tough on the Border Part 2. Senators voted to build a three-deep fence along 370 miles of Mexican border.
Does it cost some money? Yes. But I want to tell every member of our Senate community here that the American people expect this.
That's Alabama Senator Jeff Sessions, who helped write the bill. The jury is deliberating the Enron fraud case against Kenneth Lay and Jeffrey Skilling. CBS News correspondent Cammy McCormick is in Houston.
Prosecutor Sean Berkowitz defended government witnesses who defense attorneys have attacked, saying they had no reason to lie. Many are former Enron executives accused of wrongdoing. He then attacked Lay and Skilling for selling their stock as Enron teetered near bankruptcy, at the same time misleading investors. Berkowitz said they were arrogant and believed if they could lie just a little bit longer, everything would be fine.
After all the floods and the damage they caused, Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney is asking for some federal help.
I have sent a letter to the president asking him to declare a major disaster declaration. The purpose of this is to expedite individual assistance from the federal government.
Making the law fit the reality in West Texas. The state may raise the speed limit to 80 miles an hour on Interstates 10 and 20 out there in the wide, wide open spaces. Officials say the road is long and straight and wide, and besides, people are doing 80 or better anyway. And 10 West Texas counties have 75-mile-an-hour limits on the county roads. Roman Catholics in Cannes, France, protesting in song the movie The Da Vinci Code, which they condemn as historical garbage. As for reaction from moviegoers,
I read the book and I was a bit disappointed because there was no surprise at all.
Too much talking and not enough action.
The Da Vinci Code officially opens in this country on Friday. This is CBS News.
Aflac for Small Business, how can I help you?
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an ant.
Okay.
I got a tunneling business. You dig?
How many employees?
Well, it's a family-run business, just me and my, my aunts.
Well, with Aflac for Small Business, you can enjoy a lot of the benefits of a big business.
Great.
Just call 1-800-99-AFLAC.
Did that.
Or go to aflacsb.com. Aflac for Small Business. Because small business needs...
Aflac!
Two.
Gotta run. Company picnic.
American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
The following is a message from Pfizer.
Dr. Drew Pinsky here on a subject most guys would rather ignore, erectile dysfunction. Believe it or not, nearly half of all guys over 40, and some even younger, have ED. If your sex life leaves something to be desired, even part of the time, do something about it. To learn more about ED and how to treat it, talk to your doctor or visit justasktoday.com. Do it for you and your partner.
The FBI in Detroit, searching a piece of property in Bloomfield Township, Michigan, a search for the remains of Teamsters boss Jimmy Hoffa, we're told, last seen at a local restaurant in 1975. British scientists say they've figured out why some food ads send people right to the convenience store. We may not be dogs, but we are Pavlovian.
The researchers showed volunteers different images of food, ranging from the mouth-watering to the flat-out disgusting. They found some people's brains lit up like a drug addict's when they looked at tasty food. It created an irresistible craving.
CBS News correspondent Vicky Barker is in London. You've heard a lot about the note from Marilyn Monroe to Joe DiMaggio on the Hunt Auctions block. Interesting, expensive item, of course. You ought to see the auction book. The DiMaggio collection is more than 1,000 items, everything from uniforms and bats to his Hall of Fame ring and signed baseballs, letters, commendations, plaques, other stuff with Marilyn Monroe. 379 pages, full color, heavy paper, fancy bound catalog. Whew. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
The following is a message from Pfizer.
This is Dr. Drew Pinsky. Some of you may know me as Dr. Drew. Today's topic is men's sexual health. More specifically, performance problems. And we've got a brave guy on the line.
I don't know why I'm even calling, because it's not really an issue. It only happens every once in a while, like when I'm tired or stressed out, a little under the weather.
Just to guess, but are we talking about erectile dysfunction?
Oh, no, not ED. Just a very occasional little glitch. Yeah, I'd call it an erectile glitch.
Well, a lot of guys don't realize it, but ED may not happen all the time. It can be unpredictable.
Well, now that you mention it, I never know when it's going to happen.
And that's something you want to live with?
Good point. I'll talk to my doctor.
To learn more about ED and how to treat it, talk to your doctor or visit justasktoday.com.
Welcome to another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. May I see your citizenship papers, please? Oh, really? Where were you born, huh? Today, the United States Senate endorsed a chance at citizenship for millions of illegal immigrants, but they also voted to build 370 miles of triple-layered fencing along the Mexican border in increasingly emotional debate over election year immigration legislation. Now, that is the fence that George W. Bush is straddling, and it hasn't even been built yet. Joining me to comment on the president's speech on Monday is David Bacon. He writes for Pacific News Service and is also the author of the book The Children of NAFTA, Labor Wars on the U.S.-Mexico Border. Hello again, David.
Hi, how are you, Peter?
Doing fine today, and you?
Not too bad.
Good. We get your take on the Senate action today. They've been pretty busy on various amendments to the immigration bills there, the McCain-Kennedy bill, and a few other things that are drifting around in the Senate. And today, the plan to build at least a 370-mile fence. A lot of this is for photo opportunities and kind of shows people that they're attempting to do something about controlling our borders. In your opinion, will this net-net have any meaningful impact?
Well, I think that, that first of all, we have to sort of see what the objective is, especially in the eyes of George Bush. A lot of media attention focused in, after his speech on Monday on his proposal to station the National Guard on the border. And while that is a fairly extreme proposal, I think it really, we have to sort of ask ourselves why he's making this proposal. And really, there's something that Bush wants here, and he's been pretty upfront about it over the past 3 years, and that is he wants a guest worker program. He calls it connecting willing employers with willing employees. And in order to get that, he has to please the right wing of his party, the Republican Party. And so I think this proposal around bringing the National Guard down to the border, as well as his support for other similarly draconian proposals, really is a means to an end. And this is really the end that he has in view. And the Senate here is really helping him to do that. In fact, every single immigration reform bill in the Senate has some form of a guest worker program attached to it. And we could kind of credit the lobbying effectiveness of the Essential Worker Immigration Coalition in ensuring that that happens. And this is the coalition of employers, basically 40 of the largest industrial and commercial employer associations in the United States. In fact, you could say the world. Walmart belongs to it, and Tyson Foods belongs to it, and Marriott Corporation belongs to it. And they all want big guest worker programs, and they've gotten them into all of these Senate proposals in one form or another. And this is really the heart of what the Senate has on the table.
And why did Senator Boxer sponsor an amendment yesterday to kill the guest worker program entirely? Because I can understand it's you know, this whole debate presents us with difficult choices, and some of them are very unattractive. But it appears to me that given the Sensenbrenner bill in the House, which is, you know, way to the right, very draconian, still includes criminalization for those who are here without documents, that the guest worker program is relatively benign in comparison to the House bill.
Well, first of all, I think that, you know, personally, I would congratulate both Senator Boxer and the 19 senators who voted with her in favor of this amendment, the Dorgan Amendment, that would have stripped guest worker language out of the proposals that the Senate is considering. And the reason for that, her reasons for that, were that she believes that by giving corporations the ability to recruit workers in other countries and bring them to the U.S. under temporary visas, first of all, those workers will be subject to some pretty brutal exploitive conditions. And I think that when you look at the past history and the present history of guest worker programs in the United States, you can see that that's pretty plainly true. And also that this is going to have exert a downward pressure on the wages and working conditions of workers here in the U.S. You know, you mentioned, Peter, the Kennedy-McCain bill, mm-hmm. which would allow employers to bring in 400,000 workers the first year and up that by 20% every year at least for at least 6 years. That means that at the end of that six-year period, there might be as many as 3 million people in the United States working under conditions that essentially mean that these are temporary contract workers. And so what would happen is that employers like, say, the Marriott Corporation in their hotels or the Tyson Corporation in meatpacking plants would take jobs that right now are permanent jobs, although they're very often held by immigrants themselves. These are permanent jobs, and that ones that have a certain amount of benefits that come with them. These jobs would then become temporary jobs in which people would be hired in by labor contractors who would do the recruitment, and the standards and the conditions for workers would go down. So it wouldn't be a good deal either for the workers themselves who are in those jobs, the guest workers, and it wouldn't be a very good deal for other workers around them. Now, some people argue, as you suggest, that this is better than the Sensenbrenner bill, which would take the 12 million people who are here in the United States without legal papers and criminalize them, turn them into federal felons.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's not a good reason for supporting a bad proposal.
Okay. I can understand that. And Feinstein scaled back. She sponsored an amendment yesterday that did pass that scaled back the numbers, and in particular the escalator that you described, that if the pool was fully filled each year, that they could increase it by 20% per year. Apparently somebody ran a calculator for after the legislation had been proposed. So that part I understand. And on principle, I agree. The Bracero programs of the past have permitted a great deal of exploitation. It does create second-class non-citizens in our country. I guess just on balance and trying to be practical and see what is achievable in this current emotional election year climate, that, again, the guest worker program seems to be less offensive in this context.
Well, starting with Senator Feinstein, Senator Feinstein has been a little bit all over the map here.
Yes.
On this one. She started out by being opposed to guest worker programs in principle. Then I think what happened was the growers got to her, and she began supporting guest worker programs. And then as you...
With a blue card, a new blue card.
Right, a special sort of temporary card, and more recently has proposed limiting those programs. Now, Peter, I have investigated extensively the existing programs, guest worker programs, both for agricultural workers and for low-paid non-agricultural workers that we have, and we do have these programs right now, and I have actually seen the blacklists that are kept by people like the North Carolina Growers Association every year with the blessing of the U.S. Department of Labor, which lists workers who are supposedly eligible for rehire, and also those who are not eligible for rehire, and those who are not eligible for rehire giving reasons like lazy, doesn't work hard enough, causes trouble. You can imagine that, you know, anybody who wants to organize a union or to enforce labor law is going to wind up on the blacklist side of that list. So, mm-hmm. You know, we don't have to look very far. In fact, we don't even have to go all the way back to the Bracero program to see what the effect of these programs is. But, you know, again, you know, you pose the question of the devil's choice, so to speak, right? In other words, isn't it still better than Sensenbrenner? Most immigrant rights organizations that I'm aware of outside of these Beltway advocacy groups essentially are saying these days that it would be better that Congress pass nothing than pass the bills that are on the table, because all of these bills contain provisions that would actually do considerable harm to immigrants. And we've just been talking here about guest workers and Sensenbrenner, but there are other aspects of these bills as well, too. Right now, the one that the Senate is debating, the so-called Hagel-Martinez Compromise, separates the undocumented people, these 12 million people, into three categories, those who have been here longer than 5 years, those who have been here from 2 to 5 years, and those who have been here for less than 2 years. Those who have been here for less than 2 years, and here we're talking about possibly as many as 2 million people, would simply be deported. Now, you say, well, okay, they haven't been here that long. Is that going to really hurt them so badly? And aside from the kind of brutality of it in terms of the people themselves, what we also have to understand is that immigration is kind of a process, so that in the same family, in many, many families in our country, mm-hmm. you have people who are citizens, like mothers and fathers. You might have uncles or grandparents who are just recent arrivals, who are undocumented, recent, you know, immigrants. You might have children who were born in the United States who are citizens, a whole big mixture of people. So if you take that context and you start ripping people out of it and saying, well, you've been here, you haven't been here long enough, you have to leave, that has pretty severe consequences mm-hmm. for families and for our communities. I mean, think
right.
about it.
Now, when we talk about these people in these nameless, faceless groups, we do tend to generalize, and a lot of gets lost in that shuffle, including the kinds of situations you just described, which is that some people may have been here a long time and just got their parents here recently. David, we got to take a break. We'll continue in just a moment. And as we do, we'll talk about the new word for amnesty that John McCain has suggested. It's banana. Oh, yeah, he's a wacky guy. We'll continue in just a moment. Your calls and comments are welcome here. 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, or toll-free at 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
When it comes to the safety of your family in Monterey County, you have a clear choice to elect a sheriff we can all be proud of, Robert Owen. He's running for sheriff because he has 30 years' experience in law enforcement, with the integrity and skill necessary to provide visionary leadership for the Monterey County Sheriff's Department. Robert Owen's campaign refuses to take large special interest donations. You can't say that about the other candidates who want to be your sheriff. On June 6, vote for the sheriff who will work for the people of Monterey County. Vote Robert Owen, sheriff.
Paid for by Robert Owen, candidate for Monterey County Sheriff.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Jeep Commander 4x4, a seven-passenger SUV that's roomier than the Cherokee. My demo has a 3.7-liter V6 and a five-speed automatic with full-time all-wheel drive. The Commander is a solid SUV with a comfy suspension, holds the road well, and accelerates pretty well for an SUV. Well-priced compared to the competition, my demo has a good accessory package, but it's not all leathered up and there's no DVD player for the kids. It's a roomy, solid, practical 4x4, and you should test drive it before you buy a Range Rover or other luxury SUV. By the numbers, the 2006 Jeep Commander gets 16 miles in the city, 19 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $30,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay Area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
KRXA 540 looks at your traffic this afternoon. Here's Amy Knight.
This time around, not bad. Not bad at all. Still have debris rolling around. Northbound 101 near Mastin Avenue in Gilroy. A big blue roll of plastic in the lanes. Also north 101 at 129 in San Benito County. A car went off the roadway and into a creek. Highway patrol on scene with that. And earlier stop, yeah, Highway 17 at Lexington Reservoir. It's been cleared from the right lane. This report brought to you by Advil PM. Aches and pains keeping you up? Big news, new Advil PM is here. The multi-pain reliever power of Advil plus a gentle sleep aid. New Advil PM. Stop hurting and start sleeping. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thank you so much, Amy. We'll check back in about a half an hour.
All right.
Okay. And Casey's got your traffic every weekday morning on the Stephanie Miller Show right here on KRXA 540. And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. Coming up shortly, we're going to open up the switchboard for the Free Speech Zone. We'll take your calls on any subject from any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Number on the Central Coast, 831-899-5792, or toll-free, coast-to-coast at 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. We continue now with David Bacon from Pacific News Service, also the author of The Children of NAFTA, Labor Wars on the U.S.-Mexico Border. And we're talking about the president's immigration policies as he articulated them in the speech on Monday night. And, David, in the Senate debate today, the word amnesty came up. And it's interesting because Robert Scheer, the syndicated columnist who appears in the San Francisco Chronicle, and you can find him online at his website, truthdig.com, just flat out said, yeah, there's amnesty involved here, just like Reagan offered amnesty in the mid-1980s. But John McCain is avoiding that term, and he and Chuck Hagel were arguing on the Senate floor today. Hagel said, let's stop the nonsense. You all know it's not amnesty, McCain interrupted. Addressing David Vitter from Louisiana, he said, call it a banana if you want to. To call the process that we require under this legislation amnesty, frankly, distorts the debate, and it's an unfair interpretation of it. What's your interpretation and definition of the term amnesty, and is that essentially what the president is embracing?
Well, I think the best definition of amnesty, Peter, is the one that's being given by the people out in the street. In other words, those folks who have been marching everywhere from Santa Cruz to San Francisco to Los Angeles, New York. I was in Los Angeles on May Day. There were two enormous marches. They could have had as many as a million people in each one. It was just, I've never seen anything like it. And everywhere you see people holding up signs saying we want amnesty or amnesty now. And what people mean by that is something that's very, very simple, and that is people want green cards. In other words, amnesty is in this meaning of the word is not forgiveness for a crime. What it is talking about the status that people want. And what people are saying is we want to have green cards. In other words, we want to have legal residence visas that allow us to live here on an equal basis with everybody else that is around us. That's a very important point because really it's the same kind of demand that people were making during the civil rights movement when African American people in the South, for instance, said we are tired of being treated as second class people here. We want to be equal. And I think that that is what amnesty means in the words of those people who are fighting for it and to whom it would apply. Now, the Republican Party, especially the right wing of that party, has tried to make amnesty into kind of a dirty word. It reminds me of what they did with the word liberal or, yep. You know, that whole thing of the card-carrying member of the ACLU. And
right.
If you want to, you can go all the way back to the McCarthyite period and what they tried to do with, you know, Reds and communists. In other words, they're trying to create a hot-button word that is going to make people react without really thinking at all about what the meaning of the word really is.
And I, for one, am not afraid of it. I actually embrace amnesty, and I've talked about it many times in these discussions because I'm a practical guy.
Mm-hmm.
And even Bush agrees with me, or maybe I'm agreeing with him. I hesitate to think of it that way. But he said, look, you know, we got to face reality. We have millions of them here, and we're not going to have mass deportations. And he said that, again, as he was straddling the fence that hasn't been built yet, after saying flatly, well, I don't believe in amnesty. Well, you know, just practically speaking, we are not going to round these people up and deport them. There was a really disgusting opinion piece posted at one of the far-right websites the other day where a gentleman calculated how long it took for Hitler to round up the Jews in Germany. And calculating that we could round up the illegals in this country much faster. It shows you the level to which some of these people will sink as they attempt to, you know, win this rhetorical war in an election year.
Well, Peter, I wish I shared your optimism, really. I don't think that what is being contemplated by people like Sensenbrenner and those people in the Department of Homeland Security who have adopted the same kind of thinking is necessarily deporting 12 million people in one fell swoop, in other words, all at one time, although it is important to note that Halliburton Corporation, KBR, a division of Halliburton, has had a contract now for a while to build detention centers on the U.S.-Mexico border, and there have been discussions about reopening closed military bases and using them for the same purpose.
You are correct, and tomorrow at 4:30 Pacific time in our second hour, we're going to present a writer from The Progressive to detail that story.
Good, okay.
Just about 20 seconds remaining. Go ahead and wrap up, David.
Well, I think that really what we need is we need to kind of go in the opposite direction. So the best thing that could happen right now would be for all these proposals in Congress to die and then to start again from the point of view of what can we do that will guarantee equality and human decency for all of the people who live in this country, regardless of where they come from.
All right, David. Thank you very much. Appreciate your comments today.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Free speech next.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Doesn't your Volvo deserve to be maintained and repaired by the best? Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is locally owned and operated by Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco. Tracy is a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Mike is a factory-trained and certified Volvo technician with over 17 years of experience servicing and repairing Volvos. Join the many Monterey Bay Volvo owners who only trust Hans Auto Repair to service their Volvos. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside. Call Hans at 583-9820. That's 583-9820. Every business has a black and white copier.
Yet color packs more punch, demands more attention, and projects a more powerful image.
The Sharp MX Series Multifunctional Products.
Advanced color document systems that not only copy, print, scan, and fax, but also feature high-quality printing in both color and black and white from the same MFP.
All for a surprisingly low total cost of ownership. And with Sharp's advanced image stabilization and microfine toner technology.
The MX series produces ultra-vivid documents and extraordinary color image quality, page after page.
Sharp's MX series.
Workgroup document systems designed to provide exceptional performance and productivity day after day, in-house for less money.
Tri-County Business Systems, solutions that connect with you since 1981. Located in Salinas at South Main and Acacia Streets. Call 1-800-339-6216. That's 1-800-339-6216.
I'm Chuck Mackley, owner of Executive Financial Services. I can get you up to 12% interest on your investment on first and second trust deeds secured by real property. Don't settle for 3 to 5% on your money. Call me today at 443-7277. Your investment will be protected by the equity in the property and title insurance. Put your hard-earned money to work. Call Executive Financial Services at 443-7277 and ask for Chuck Mackley.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
The Del Monte Cafe features authentic American food carefully prepared at very reasonable prices. Hungry for delicious omelets, pancakes, sandwiches, and pasta dishes? Come visit us for breakfast and lunch at the Del Monte Cafe, located at 1642 Del Monte Boulevard in Seaside. We're open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday from 7:30 to 2 p.m. For takeout orders, call us at 394-7851. That's 394-7851, the Del Monte Cafe, 1642 Del Monte Boulevard, Seaside.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 AM from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. I forked over $15 for the new Neil Young CD. So you're going to listen. That's Neil Young's new album. The song is called Let's Impeach the President. The CD is entitled Living with War. And I understand the songs were written and recorded in a two-week period. Neil Young can work in that frenetic style. And I think there's some powerful stuff here. I like the fuzz-tone distorted guitar. I don't really care for the choral vocals there. I'd rather Neil just belt it out solo, but he didn't ask me. Anyway, I love this song and the lyrics in that last passage. Let's impeach the president for spying on citizens inside their own homes, breaking every law in the country, tapping our computers and telephones. And here is an interesting point that was posted today by Judd Legum at the Center for American Progress. And it says that there is a new presidential memo that permits the director of intelligence, that's John Negroponte, to authorize the telephone companies to lie without violating securities laws. And you scratch your head and say, well, what's that got to do with this? Well, there are three possibilities that Legum points out related to the reporting last week in USA Today that the NSA has contracted with the phone companies to acquire your and my telephone records. Not our names or addresses. Oh, no, that's all blacked out. Just the phone numbers that they can use to locate our names and addresses if they really want to. So Legum points out three possibilities: that the USA Today story is wrong, that the telephone companies left enough wiggle room in their statements that both the USA Today story and their statements are accurate, or that the statements from the telcos are inaccurate. And what are those statements? Well, Verizon and Bell South yesterday said, huh, who, what, us? We never did any of that. We didn't supply any of these documents to the government. What are you talking about? And what Legum points out is that on May 5th, the president signed a memo that allows the director of national intelligence to authorize a company to conceal activities related to national security. Isn't that amazing? May 5th he did it. Let's just fix the law after we violate it. Amazing to me. Just amazing. Your calls are welcome here. It's the Free Speech Zone for the rest of the program today. 831-899-5792 Central Coast or toll free 888-579-2540. Jake's on the line from Arcata. Hello, Jake.
Hey, Peter. How's it going?
Doing great today. And you?
Oh, good. Good. I'd just like to thank you for having David Ray Griffin on. If the listeners haven't read his book, The New Pearl Harbor, they need to go get it. Is there any chance that David Ray Griffin would be interested in being a regular part of the Peter B. Collins Show?
You know, it's difficult to schedule him for interviews. He is much in demand, and he does limit them because he prefers to work on his writing. And so we invited him on today, and he said, I can do 15 minutes, and so we took it. And we have invited him in the past, and he typically chooses when he wants to be heard.
Oh, well, yeah, I understand he is much in demand. Another professor, Dr. James Fetzer, he's a co-founder of Scholars for 9/11 Truth. You've had him on before, haven't you?
Sure. He's from the University of Minnesota at Duluth.
That's right. Yeah, he's a great great speaker too. He's an excellent guy. Mm-hmm. He was actually on Michael Medved today explaining why the so-called video of the Flight 77, which we all know did not hit the Pentagon, why that was a bunch of garbage. Of course.
Oh,
you know, right?
Jake, wait a minute! Don't you know that the photos they released yesterday are proof positive?
Oh yeah, that's right. That's what Fox News said. So it must be true, right? You know, I just have to ask my fellow Americans, especially my fellow Democrats, isn't it a time to take your head out of the sand and to deal with the reality of what really happened on 9/11? You know for a fact every single thing they told you about Iraq was a lie. You know everything they're telling you about Iran is a lie. But for some reason, there's still some people who find the truth too painful to admit that what they told us on 9/11 was a big lie. And all you have to do is look at the evidence, because it's just as simple as this. The Bush administration, even for national security reasons, did not have the ability to suspend the laws of the known physical universe on September 11th, 2001, no matter what they tell you.
Oh, okay? Jake, 9/11 changed everything, including the laws of physics. You didn't hear that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And apparently it changed some people's ability to use logic when they analyze subjects. All you have to do is look at the physical evidence, you know, deductive reasoning. Start from the evidence, you know, do CSI work. You know, this is what people watch on TV. You'd think they'd put it to use on 9/11.
Let me take that point just one step further, because we really do have a media in this country that is either asleep and enjoying the slumber or unwilling to challenge these myths. Because, you know, you don't have to believe everything about the, you know, 9/11 truth movement to look at that picture that was on TV in slow-mo repeated over and over last night that doesn't prove a damn thing. And yet it was presented as if it does, and the overpaid, you know, well-suited, well-coiffed network people just sat there and said, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I watched Hardball for a while, and Chris Matthews was there. He went to his Pentagon correspondent, Jim Mikleshevsky, and it was interesting the language Mick used, because he said, according to the Pentagon, this proves that it was a plane that hit on 9/11. And that phrase wasn't followed up, wasn't challenged, and Matthews just sat there and took it all in and made no questions, no comments. They did reference those of us who have questions just long enough to write us off.
You know, I do understand what's going on with people like Matthews and these people who are making millions of dollars a year. They just simply don't want to lose all that money. So they're willing to lie to the public. And it's about time the public just wakes up. I mean, how many times do we, the American people, have to be lied to by the Bush administration before we get it? I know there's some people out there who just want to believe the president is doing the right thing and he's telling them the truth and he's Jesus' representative on planet Earth. Well, guess what? He's not. This Bush is like Daddy Bush, is like Granddaddy Prescott Bush. These people are fascists who will stop at nothing to profit personally and to gain more power for themselves. Look at what they're doing. They're not helping people. They are gaining more power. They are spying on the American public without probable cause, breaking the law.
They're keeping us safe, Jake.
Oh, yeah. Safe from who? Them? These are the people we should be worried about.
I think you're right. Thank you very much, Jake.
Thanks,
always
Peter.
A pleasure to talk to you. John in Carmel Valley, thanks for calling. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Peter, the talk about Bush soon to declare war, even a limited war, an air war on Iran, I think he will do it. I think the evidence is almost overwhelming that he will, which puts me in a tremendous quandary, because I'm nearly a pacifist, so there's almost no way I could even remotely support such a thing. But also, at the same time, I want to see him finally sink his political ship. The trouble is, we're all on it.
Yeah, right.
And today, I was given, and we were all given, huge evidence for how irrational he is. This tax cut idiocy. And he's crowing about how he trusts the American people with their money. And
all
I couldn't help thinking, yeah, that's it exactly. That's what you have to do when you think tax cuts are the way to spur an economy. Because in my mind, they've not only been discredited by decades of other brands of economics. This is another example of how anti-modernist and crazy his reactionary, because he's not a conservative, he's a reactionary.
He's a radical. He is a radical Republican, and I agree, he's not a true conservative.
But look at how irrational tax cuts are, even in the best of circumstances, as a means of boosting the economy. It's like this. He was admitting it today. He said, I trust the American public. That's what you have to do, because you're not putting any conditions. You're simply saying, here's the money, folks. We hope you will take it and spend it to somehow boost the economy.
Well, but John, not only is he giving some Americans their money, but he's borrowing money to give them even more.
Of course, but let me finish the point, because this is where I think it becomes so absurd, and it's rarely pointed out in this manner. It's like a hunter that goes out at 3 in the morning in total darkness, no lights, takes a shotgun and hopes to shoot pheasants, geese, whatever, in total darkness, just by firing big volleys up into the darkness. Because in this case, we already know most of the people who would benefit, have the money returned to them, are wealthy. They're the least likely. Almost everybody knows this. They're the least likely to use that money in a way that would help the economy. They'll
All right.
take it. They'll salt it away. Few of them will use it the way we hope. So it's just craziness. Mm-hmm. Craziness.
Well, and I loved your shotgun metaphor. That would be Dick Cheney's Italian shotgun, right?
Any shotgun. I mean, it just scares me when I think about it, because here is somebody trying to appear as logical, but just, and yet it doesn't shoot him down. How is it that this man, who anyone else doing the same thing would have been not just sunk at the bottom of 16,000 feet of water, not just sinking down, he gets
Thank you,
away
John.
With it.
John, you make a good point, and you leave a good question there. Thanks for your call today. 45 minutes past the hour, we're in the Free Speech Zone. Your calls and comments are welcome. Central Coast, it's your Free Speech Zone today, because Eureka has to listen to a baseball game. So join me right now. There are lines available, 831-899-5792. That's 899-KRXA. Or you can call me from anywhere in the continental U.S., toll-free, 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540 here at the Peter B. Collins Show.
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
Do you struggle when it comes to teaching your child about the family rules? It's essential to learn to set limits when your children are young, and for parents to mean what they say and say what they mean. I'm Nurse Rona. Join me Sunday to discuss love with limits.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichorn, owner of Eichorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
KRXA 540 looks at your traffic one more time. Here's Amy Knight, Metro Traffic.
Well, it looks like we still have a problem out there in Pajaro, Salinas Road at Associated Lane. A three-vehicle accident reportedly blocking lanes. You'll find Highway Patrol on scene with that. They're trying to move it out of the roadway. Otherwise, no new problems to report for Highway 1 along the coast. You may experience some slow traffic, though, leaving Santa Cruz, making your way down toward Capitola on southbound Highway 1. Highway 17, a little sluggish. Lark Avenue toward the Lexington Reservoir on South 17, and no new problems to report 101 through Gilroy. Six Flags Marine World is celebrating 45 years with parades, fireworks, the Justice League, and all the new kids' animal adventure, Tava's Jungleland. Buy a season pass today at sixflags.com. Hurry, offer ends June 11th. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks a lot, Amy. We will talk to you tomorrow.
Okay.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're in the home stretch here. Free speech still available to you. Central Coast lines open at 831-899-5792. That's 899-5792 for our flagship station, KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, and Freedom. Coming up on the program tomorrow, Ray McGovern will be joining us. He's the guy who stood up to Rumsfeld, both figuratively and really, in Atlanta about 2 weeks ago, and was labeled a heckler because he had a ticket to an event where Rumsfeld spoke, and then there was a Q&A session, and he was given the opportunity to ask a question, and he did. And there were hecklers in the audience there, but the media shaved the truth a little bit and claimed that Ray McGovern was a heckler. Well, tomorrow he'll be joining us at the very moment when he is leading a march of protesters to Donald Rumsfeld's house in suburban Washington. And I think that'll be a very interesting exchange. So that's tomorrow in our second hour. That's the 4 o'clock Pacific hour here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We go to Dave in Pinnacles next. Hello, Dave. Thanks for holding on. You're on the air.
Well, thanks, Peter, for having such cool guests. That sounds really cool tomorrow.
Well, Ray McGovern is a great American.
Yeah.
He worked at the CIA for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And I was distressed to see him slimed in the media because he stood up and asked the questions that the media does not ask.
Well, you know, I called about the media, but, you know, first I just want to make a comment about your immigration guest.
Uh-huh.
If he thinks life is being a bitch being a resident alien in the United States, I want to be one in Mexico. So, you know, you don't get much pity from me.
Okay.
Okay, dig this, guy. This morning, Bill Kress, he ends his show with a kind of personalized touch. He calls the thing the parting shot.
Uh-huh.
Well, today it just happened to be everybody that does not believe the government's explanation of 911. He calls them conspiracy, although we're not saying who did it. We're just saying it couldn't happen that way. That's all we're saying. And evidently he doesn't even believe his own eyes. I mean, what got me is when everybody sees the second plane hit the tower and it hits it cattywampus, doesn't hit the center core, all the fuel is consumed outside the building. This very same fuel the government claims is what heated up the center core and made it fall.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you don't believe your own eyes, I don't know what to tell you.
Well, next time I have a chance, I will invite Bill to come on the program and talk about it. He loves debate. He was on Crossfire and survived for many years.
Well,
and
yeah.
I have heard him previously diss the 9/11 truth movement. I think Alec Baldwin spoke up a couple of months ago.
Well,
all he did was ask the same questions that you and I are asking.
Well,
and press dumped on him.
He certainly couldn't have impugned doubters any more than by calling them, I believe he called them idiots and kooks.
Yeah.
So that's getting down to the bone, Peter. When you start calling people, you know, like, and what are we saying? We're just saying, hey, look at the evidence. Listen to the story. It's not the same.
Right.
I mean, come on, buddy.
Yeah.
Okay, Peter, have a good one, buddy.
All right, good to hear from you, Dave. Thanks for your call today. Lines are open if you'd like to help us finish up the show today, 899-5792 in the 831 area code. That's 831-899-KRXA, 899-5792. Toll-free line works, too, 1-888-579-2540. You can also visit my website, peterbcollins.com, especially if you're a new listener in Phoenix or Sacramento, and you'd like to know, you know, what rock I crawled out from under. Well, there's information for you. There are also links to archive shows, podcasts, and our live web stream every weekday, and that is at peterbcollins.com. Hope you'll drop in there, and you can send me an email from that location as well. Well, a couple of other things that we can talk about here today. I am still stunned by the reaction to the NSA spying issues. And I know it's gotten a little confusing with these denials from phone companies over the past couple of days. But when you hear what I described just a few minutes ago, courtesy of Judd Legum at the Center for American Progress, it does start to all fit together. And when you go back a few years and you look at the Total Information Awareness Project that Rumsfeld had started at the Pentagon, and he put Admiral Poindexter in charge of it. Poindexter, yes, Poindexter from Iran-Contra, Poindexter from the National Security Staff, a felon. And this data mining operation was launched, and then when it was reported to exist, they made moves that suggested that they shut it down. And I don't know this for a fact, but my theory is that they looked at the situation and said, well, let's outsource this. They said, well, we can't outsource it to India. They're doing too much work over there right now. And then they looked at the situation and said, well, you know, if we demand these records from the phone companies, it's going to be a whole firestorm of legal fights, and the public will know more about it than we want them to. So what do you say we go to the phone companies and offer to buy this information from them? And that leads me to State Senator Jackie Speier, a Democrat who is a candidate for lieutenant governor in the June primary. And when we talked to her a few weeks ago, she corrected me because I said, yeah, you did three tries over a three-year period to get privacy legislation passed and signed by the governor here in California. And she corrected me, no, it was 4 years. And that was an incredible struggle. And the issue was not dissimilar from what we're looking at right now. Jackie Speier was trying to block banks, insurance companies, phone companies, credit card companies from sharing your personal data with unaffiliated companies. In other words, like selling a mailing list. And Senator Speier got that passed in California. And within a year, the Republicans in Washington passed legislation that essentially overrode that law. And it subjected Californians to a diminishing of their privacy by lowering our standards to that of the rest of the country. To those of the rest of the country, pardon me. And so you look at the big picture, that efforts to preserve our privacy have been blocked, particularly by the Republicans in power today. And when things like the NSA eavesdropping program or the NSA phone call record culling program come to light, they tell us that it's all lawful. Leaders on the House and Senate side were briefed, and that they did it to protect us. Well, I hope you will remain vigilant on these issues. And I was surprised last week after that poll came out that so many callers to this program said they supported the analysis of your telephone records, and I guess their own as well. And we have to draw the line. We have to draw the line way back there and try to get the recalcitrant Democratic leaders to fight to reestablish our rights to privacy, our rights under the Fourth Amendment, to prevent search and seizure that would violate our personal and privacy rights. So I want to, well, okay, let's get 30 seconds from Ben. We're almost out of time here today. Ben and Salinas, hello.
Peter, I have a question of you, sir.
Go ahead.
I'm one of those that believes that since they didn't find any blood, DNA, or anything, either at the Pentagon from this missile that hit there, that they didn't find any of the passengers like Mrs. Olson and none of those, or mm-hmm. in that field in Pennsylvania, right. there was no DNA or no actual wreckage. Neither place did they find an engine, a fuselage, a wingtip. Since I believe they were both either drones or missiles, people will say, well, what about the Flight 70 and Flight 93? All those people. If the people that took down the Twin Towers, if they didn't mind slaughtering thousands of innocent, beautiful women and men on those buildings on the day, why in the hell do you people think they would stop at 200 or 300 on a few planes?
All right, Ben, I'm out of time. Thanks for your call today. I'm Peter B. Collins. We'll be back at you tomorrow, same time, same station. I hope you'll meet me here.
Happy trails to you.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
This is KRXA 540 AM General Manager Hal Ginsberg with an important announcement about an exciting change in our weekday morning lineup. Casey, cut it out. This is very important. I'm trying to tell people about the show, our new program following Stephanie Miller weekday mornings.
First of all, you're going to have to wake people up, Hal.
Aha, very funny. Just what we would expect from the number one morning news anchor in Sand City. So join Hal and Casey for the show.
I thought it was going to be Casey and Hal.
I changed it, which is my prerogative.
Your what?
Look it up! And please, join us weekday mornings from 9 to 10 for the show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. President Bush, encouraged by the Senate's actions today, spoke at a Republican gala in Washington tonight.
It's really important that we help the men and women in our Border Patrol do their job so the American people know that we're using manpower, technology, and equipment to do our duty to protect the border of the United States of America.
In the Senate, an effort to scrap the president's immigrant worker plan was rejected, keeping it alive.
As the debate over immigration heated up, senators accepted an amendment from Alabama Republican Jeff Sessions to build almost 400 miles of triple-layered fence to stop people along the Mexican border and 500 miles of barricades to stop vehicles from crossing.
Does it cost some money? Yes. But I want to tell every member of our Senate community here that the American people expect this.
As the Senate worked through its immigration bill, President Bush's top political advisor, Karl Rove, met with House Republicans, trying to convince them to back away from their harsher enforcement-only bill. Bob, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The Dow was down today.
The Dow had its worst day in more than 3 years. It lost 214 points by coincidence on the 214th birthday of the New York Stock Exchange. But it was not a big party.
That's CBS's Anthony Mason. Economists say a 200-point loss in an 11,000-plus Dow is not a big worry. What it indicates, though, is building concern over inflation, with consumer prices in April up 0.6 of a point, mostly because of energy. Oil prices, $68.69 a barrel today, down 84 cents. President Bush has signed the extension of $70 billion of his tax cuts, just one slice of the total.
Tax relief is one of the president's favorite issues. He used the bill signing ceremony to ridicule Democrats who fought him on it.
Opponents of these tax cuts were wrong when they voted against them the first time.
That's a warm-up for the fall campaign trail, where the president hopes to re-energize his conservative base with more tax cut talk. Democrats see an issue, too. They say the new cuts benefit the rich and add to budget deficits. Peter Mayer, CBS News, The White House.
The jury in the Enron trial got the case just before lunch today, went to eat, came back to start deliberations, and ended the day without a verdict. CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
With few exceptions, Texas juries are famous for being quick and decisive, but I would be surprised in this case if we see an early verdict. I think there was just